thought it was safe to turn on your radio.
Something fresh and exciting. Somebody with a sock personality that'll sweep people right off their feet.
Where is he? What is he up to? What other terrors can he unleash at will?
Starring your genial host, renowned writer, art collector, and teller of strange tales.
What fiendish power did he possess? Where did he come from? Who is this man?
Believe me.
It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network for a Thursday. No joke. America, just a reminder, withholding congressionally appropriated aid is only an impeachable offense if the guy withholding it is named Trump. Day 1210. People of the Eric in America, say hello to EZ.
What's up?
He also recently discovered he's highly claustrophobic.
Yep.
Putting the heat in Heather.
Hey, guys.
Double H is here. We'll hear from her in the next hour in Heather Has Answers. Dark History, top of the third hour, and Kimmer and Pete, our buddies from Atlanta, Extra 106.3 up there in the top of the final hour with your remarks placed carefully in between. Stormy Daniels is still on the stand, more cross-examination. I mean, she may be done by now. Oh, they're still going. I think she got her ass handed to her today. They did bring up the fact that there was a letter that she signed that said that she didn't have an affair with Donald Trump. She said, yes, that's my signature. I remember signing it. My lawyer told me to. She's selling merchandise. In many different types of merchandise. She's selling a candle that's a Stormy Saint of Indictments candle. You know, like the tall. They sell for $40. She makes $7 per candle, made by a store in New Orleans, and she finds them funny. You know, a large part of her income does, in fact, come from her story about Trump and her claiming credit for his legal predicament. I don't know where this thing's going to go. I'm not there to hear all of the testimony. All of her earlier testimony by the prosecution was just nothing but salacious sexual stuff to try to smear Trump and make him look bad. I think the defense has done a pretty damn good job here. They played a tape. Turned out it was the wrong tape at first. They presented the transcript, and it was Keith Davidson and Michael Cohen. Keith Davidson said, I just didn't want you to get caught off guard, and I wanted to let you know what was going on behind the scenes, and I would not be at least bit surprised if I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if you see in the next couple of days that Gina Rodriguez's boyfriend goes out in the media and tells the story that Stormy Daniels, you know, in the weeks prior to the election, was basically yelling and screaming and calling me a pussy. Cohen said, can I ask you a question? He said, no, hold on a second. I wouldn't be at least surprised if he comes out and says, you know what, Stormy Daniels, she wanted this money more than you can ever imagine. I remember hearing her on the phone saying, you effing Keith Davidson, you better settle this GD story, because if he loses this election, and he's going to lose, if he loses, we all lose effing leverage. This case is worth zero, and if that happens, I'm going to sue you because you let this opportunity... You lost this opportunity, so settle this effing case.
So just more proof that this was basically extortion.
The whole thing was extortion. And had he lost in 2016, it would have been worthless to her. I don't know that. Why if that tape is aired, why is it this at the end of the case? Why wouldn't you just miss it? That proves that it was extortion. Trump said, I think we'll see some revealing things today as he walked in. They filed a major motion with the appellate division challenging the judge's gag order in the case. Rick Scott is for some reason joining him in the courtroom today. What is that all about?
I have no idea, just to be there, I guess.
He offered criticism of Biden with respect to Israel, saying it's disgraceful, talking about him withholding military aid. He said, if any Jewish person voted for Biden, they should be ashamed of themselves. Your problem is from the left, not the right. It's bigger. It's a bigger danger than China and Russia. You think this thing is over today?
I mean, not really.
Well, they haven't brought Cohen up yet.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to bring Cohen up. He's still their star witness. But, I mean, they proved that it was extortion. And they also proved that she has no idea what she's talking about, because she admitted to signing a piece of paper that she just says, oh, well, my lawyer told me to sign it. So I signed it.
I mean, at this point, the jury's got to be thinking, you know, this is really, really fishy. Really, really fishy.
I mean, again, it's they got a good area that's very anti-Trump, so who knows what will happen. But from what I've seen, and it's been agreed with by many, many legal experts, a lot of them on the left, that there's been no proven crime yet by the prosecution.
No.
They've not proved anything. All they've proved is that that sex may have happened and then there was money paid, but that's not what the crime is. The crime was that he was using campaign funds to do all of it. And that was somehow election interference.
This is election interference. The case is election interference. Biden, I thought this was very interesting. Now everyone's writing, Politico's writing, the headlines, Trump's political fate likely won't be declared by the courts after all. Former President Trump sits in the defense table with his attorneys. What once resembled a wall of legal obstacles that stood between Donald Trump and his return to the White House is now looking like little more than a series of speed bumps. Largely because they're all BS. Four criminal cases that he's facing have diverted him from the campaign trail. Evident from his speeches and social media prompted him to devote an even greater share of his mental energy to the courtroom's crap. But as of now, all these prosecutions don't seem destined to deliver the kind of stuff they thought they were going to deliver. I mean, the J6 case, that thing crumbled like a house of cards. I mean, at first it was, oh, so strong, Jack Smith. Very highly classified, sensitive documents were thrown around the room. Now we know all of that was made up. They staged those photographs. They tampered with evidence. And I think the judge just said, screw it. I'm just going to, let's just all forget about this for now. We'll reconvene later. You got a lot to work out here.
Yeah, prove half the stuff isn't actually stuff that you planted now.
Yeah. I think people had really high hopes about all of these cases. You know, the 91 charges, the indictments and blah, blah, blah. And they're going to be deprived of what they wanted for so long. And I think some of the stuff, the public airing of whatever they think is the gravest crimes he committed, has done nothing but increase his support. It was seemed counterintuitive the entire time, but I think it's I did read an article where people are trying to say how could Trump have such great support among evangelicals. I think largely is because they believe it's BS. And they also believe that man is not infallible, that everybody is a sinner. But this opinion piece by Lewis Rendon, the Daily Beast, he says that evangelicals see Trump's hedonism as godly masculinity. That's right, Trump is so masculine, the way God made him. So what if he likes a little grab ass now and again? and the left was so swift to sweep away or even excuse Clinton's quote-unquote character flaws as just human. It's just human.
Yeah, just a man doing what men do.
He's only, remember the defense? He was only lying about sex because he wanted to save his marriage. Well, what was this about? And that was the excuse. That was the, he only lied about a BJ. nothing else, even though he was under, you know, under oath when he did it. I mean, that's a president that lied under oath.
Now, we all know he lied about that, too, because there's nobody in the entire world that that's the only thing they go for.
What do you mean?
Like, that? You're trying to say that he never had sex with her once before or any other intern in that White House.
Oh.
Just Bill Clinton was like, yeah, just a little
that one time,
little afternoon delight, and he was fine.
Once I got out of my system, I felt a lot better. I had to not have sexual relations.
Really cleared my head. I was just able to do more presidential stuff.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of stress in that job. And, you know, working on Mid-East peace can be really stressful. And what's a little BJ in the middle of the afternoon? Just kind of let it out and get back to work. Evangelicals, it's godly hedonism. It's godly masculinity.
His ability to sleep with multiple beautiful women has put him on the level of the Lord.
A lot of people could. This guy believes that Christians try to justify Trump, supporting Trump, by using such rationalizations as comparing him to King David, a flawed man that committed serious transgressions. Yet. He was used by God. I don't know. These arguments seem to be more. This guy believes it's a sinister theory that sexual sin isn't just a stumbling block that can be overcome. It is proof of a man's masculinity and even his worthiness to be used by God. So if you'll recall, one of Trump's impeachment was the second one or the first? Oh, the first one, sham, was because of a secondhand hearsay overhearing of a phone call in which Trump allegedly said he would withhold aid to Ukraine until he gave up some dirt on the Bidens and Burisma and everything they knew about. He knew something shady was going on there. I don't know that he ever withheld anything. If he did, it was a day or two or whatever, you know. But, and the big deal was because the president, nobody can withhold either funds or any type of aid, in this case, weapons and military aid, that it has been appropriated by Congress. That was the big sticking point. Well, we know there's weapons and you know, I don't forget how many billions of dollars we gave them, $21 billion. I don't know.
It's 21 billion.
Yeah, and a lot of it is in the form of 2,000-pound bombs. And Biden is, well, he'll say it himself. He was on Aaron Burnett the other night. Yeah, last night. Come on.
I made it clear that if they go into Rafah, they haven't gone into Rafah yet. If they go into Rafah, I'm not supplying the weapons that have been used historically to deal with Rafah, to deal with the cities, to deal with that problem. We're going to continue to make sure Israel is secure in terms of Iron Dome and their ability to respond to
it. This guy sounds like a deathbed confession.
I know. This is supposed to be a sit-down softball interview, and he sounded like he's dying.
He sounds horrible.
Yeah.
So, obviously, President Biden is... This is for personal political gain, because if he doesn't provide any more weapons, he looks as if he is pandering to the far left campus crowd that love Hamas and hate the Jews and have been causing all of this trouble for the last couple of weeks. That's what he's doing. He also knows that Hamas is there. So it's one of two things. Either he wishes to protect Hamas, because 160,000 of the 200-something thousand people that live there are gone. They've left. And either he's one of two things. It literally is he wants to protect Hamas personally, which I don't know. As long as there's Hamas, there will be some trouble in the Middle East. And when there's trouble in the Middle East, it's open season for any politico to capitalize on it for a number of reasons. He has definitely put his own personal interests and its political interests ahead of the aid. And Tom Cotton has called for impeachment proceedings because it's the exact same thing that Trump did, that they impeached him for.
Yeah, except he actually is looking to withhold the aid. Again, there was never any proof that Trump withheld the aid from them, or even, again, we heard Alexander Vindman heard it over, overheard it from across the room in a crowded room. He is all that was unimpeachable. And yeah, this is him on TV saying what he's going to do, which is, and now you've got Speaker Johnson coming on today like, hey, we're hoping that was a senior moment that he said last night, because otherwise that's, you know, we're going to have to proceed with some stuff if he thinks he's actually going to withhold it.
Right. I mean, he asked for it. Right. And it was appropriated by the Congress.
Yeah. But we all know that was always going to be secondary to that money that they wanted to go to Ukraine.
Well, he had to provide some bombs in order to get some money to Ukraine. Here's where he actually, you could hear him pander to these pro-Palestinian protesters.
I want to ask you about something happening as we sit here and speak, and that, of course, is Israel is striking Rafah. I know that you have paused, Mr. President, shipments of 2,000-pound U.S. bombs to Israel due to concern that they could be used in any offensive on Rafah. Have those bombs, those powerful 2,000-pound bombs, been used to kill civilians in Gaza?
Uh-oh.
Civilians have been killed in Gaza as a consequence of those bombs and other ways in which they go after population centers. And I made it clear that if they go into Rafah, they haven't gone into Rafah yet. If they go into Rafah, I'm not supplying the weapons that have been used historically to deal with Rafah, to deal with the cities, to deal with that problem. We're going to continue to make sure Israel is secure in terms of Iron Dome and their ability to respond to attacks like came out of the Middle East recently.
Good Lord!
But it's just wrong. We're not going to supply the weapons and the artillery shells used that have been used.
Artillery shells as well.
Yeah, artillery shells.
Yeah.
So, just to understand what they're doing right now in Rafah. Is that not going into Rafah as you define it?
No, they haven't gone into the population centers. What they did is right on the border, and it's causing problems with right now in terms of with Egypt, which I've worked very hard to make sure we have a relationship and help. But
he says, I hear the message of the pro-Palestinian protesters. Obviously, this is a huge, I don't think he's going to win him any points.
A little bit. Some of the college kids will be able to go, okay, well, he took the bombs away from them, so now it's more on Israel, so it's not so much. He didn't completely come out against genocide, but maybe he's a little stopping it a little bit, so maybe we'll feel good about it again.
Tom Cotton says, the House has no choice but to impeach Biden based on the Trump-Ukraine precedent of withholding foreign aid to help with re-election. Only with Biden, it's true. You know, that interview was so, I mean, here's more of the gaslighting. He's asked if he could turn the economy around. He's like, what do you mean? Already turned it around. We turned it around. It's the best in the world. No joke.
When you talk about the economy, of course, it is by far the most important issue for voters. It's also true right now, Mr. President, that voters by a wide margin trust Trump more on the economy. They say that in polls. And part of the reason for that may be the numbers. And you're aware of many of these, of course. The cost of buying a home in the United States is double what it was when you look at your monthly costs from before the pandemic. Real income, when you account for inflation, is actually down since you took office. Economic growth last...
This is CNN, believe it or not.
...last week, far short of expectations. Consumer confidence, maybe no surprise, is near a two-year low. With less than 6 months to go to Election Day, are you worried that you're running out of time to turn that around?
We've already turned it around. Look at the Michigan survey. For 65% of American people think they're in good shape economically. They think the nation's not in good shape, but they're personally in good shape. The polling data has been wrong all along. You know, how many you guys do a poll with CNN?
Did he really just use a poll and then say the polling data is wrong?
Yeah, that's exactly what he said.
One response. The idea that we're in a situation where things are so bad. The folks, we've created more jobs. We're in a situation where people have access to good paying jobs. And the last I saw, the combination of the inflation, the cost of inflation, all those things, that's really worrisome to people with good reason. That's why I'm working very hard to bring the cost of rentals down, to increase the number of
homes. How are you going to bring the cost of rentals down?
I mean, you can't.
No, that's the market.
Yeah.
That's, you cannot, you, unless you have a bigger plan. I mean, you can't just specifically make rent go down. You have to make some sweeping changes and get the interest rates to come down so people can afford houses again.
Yeah, that's more what you need.
And
you
then
to get rid of those.
Rent will come down. David Axelrod, former political strategist, well, I guess he's still a political strategist for Obama. He says that over his economic messaging, he says the president's pride could be his undoing. He's always framed struggles with the economy in the past tense, like he just did in this interview with Aaron Burnett. We already did that. We turned it around. He says most Americans disagree. Polls showing that most trust former President Trump on the economy more. Axelrod said it's absolutely not true, but the economy has significantly improved under Biden. He says, but that's not the way people are experiencing the economy. See, you guys just aren't experiencing it right. You're not experiencing the good economy. What you're experiencing is the bad one. I don't understand. That's absolutely, he says about the economy being poor. He says that's absolutely not true. The economy has significantly improved under Biden, but that's not the way people are experiencing the economy. They are experiencing it through the lens of the cost of living.
Yeah, that's the economy. That's the only economy people care about. You can fudge numbers all day long about all these other things they're doing great, but if people have to work three jobs to pay for their food for their kids,
yeah,
then the economy's not good.
I mean, he says if he doesn't win this, he needs to lead with empathy. That he's been empathetic before, he's an empathetic man, and that he's being prideful about the economy. Even though it's super good and significantly better than it was under Trump, and the voters just aren't experiencing it correctly, I don't know what that means. I mean, I have no other way to experience this economy. Nobody does. When we return, I want to talk about this Texas teacher, but I have some Lindsey Graham for you, which is always good. He's got General Austin, and he's going through some questions, and it ends up asking him whether or not Austin would drop the bomb to end World War II. It's a bizarre discussion, but it's Lindsey Graham. Hang on, it's the Shannon Burke Show. Michael Cohen, the prosecution's star witness, took to TikTok once again last night, this time wearing a T-shirt that depicted President Trump in an orange jumpsuit behind bars. He also reportedly announced his candidacy for Congress.
Yeah, he's doing a great job to be a star witness for this case.
Your first witness is a porn star who has signed affidavits that she didn't have an affair with Donald Trump, has told Bubba the Love Sponge that she had sex with him and it was great, then told the jury it was very brief and she didn't like it. She currently owes Trump $500,000 in legal fees, that she's told she doesn't care what judge tells her, she will never ever pay it. And your star witness next up to bat is a man that is a convicted, disbarred perjurer, that is doing still just trying to make money off of this case. Both of these two have profited and continue to profit and wish to continue to profit for as long as they can.
Off of specifically this case.
Yes.
Nothing to do with actual crimes committed, just profiting off this case.
I mean, and this Judge Merchant's gag order, the prosecution argued that a gag order on Cohen would be unconstitutional.
even though they want one badly. Honestly, I think that prosecution would be begging for it. Because they apparently they told him to stop, and he said, okay, I will, and it lasted all of like 2 days.
Yeah, 2 days later. Trump's appealing that gag order at the appellate level, and Cohen's doing the best. I mean, he's undermining his own credibility as a witness is what he's doing.
Yeah, when you're dancing on TikTok, talking about how you're going to get him and then you're going to run for Congress off of that, you've just...
And Mershon, the judge in this, looks like an idiot. Like he has zero control over this case at all.
He really does. And there was another legal analyst I saw recently that thinks what's going to happen is basically he's going to let it go to jury. Whatever the jury comes back out, he's going to say, okay, fine, but we can't do sentencing because it's too much was allowed, blah, 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 and we're going to have, it's going to be a retrial.
Huh?
There's a couple of them that now is coming, because basically, I mean, even most judges that hate Trump, he knows he's let this place, it get to a circus now, and this could basically end his career as a judge.
Oh, yeah, so it should end his career.
So he'll try to save face at the end of it, basically say, you know, it was, you know, prosecuted the defense and the prosecution, this, we let it all get out of hand. We're going to have to probably just go ahead and do a retrial on this.
What a nightmare, man.
Which will get what they want. They'll get a jury to come out and say he's convicted, but it won't actually convict him because the judge will not sentence him. He'll require a retrial.
And will Alvin Bragg retry it?
Probably not, because it would be pushed out at that point. So, again, it wouldn't be worth anything. They'll get what they wanted, which is they can say, oh, look, we got it. We convicted Trump of all these charges.
But he's not sentenced at any time.
Yeah.
He's going to appeal it anyway.
Oh, he would, but that would, you know, I think they would be held up on the retrial. But, and again, it wouldn't stand for anything other than the fact that they had a jury come out and say he's guilty, even though the judge never sentenced him for anything.
They just get the word guilty. They can put it in a headline exactly somewhere. Right. Yeah. He won't be in a yellow jumpsuit, orange jumpsuit, or behind bars. Man. They can get back out of the campaign trail. I'm sure they want him out of New York City, too. He's about to turn that city red. this is a terrible story. Well, it's good that we know about it. It's out of South Lake, Texas, near Fort Worth, very red area of Texas. And it's about a teacher named Christina McGurk. She was pregnant at the time. She was... She's a fourth grade teacher, and she took to NBC to tell the story. At Carroll, the name of the school district is the Carroll, South Lakes Carroll Independent School District. That's a suburb of Fort Worth. And a few days before she started, an administrator advised her and her colleagues. This is at a time when people are talking about, you know, the DEI programs and critical race theory and the ever expanding version of it, and then some books and lessons that were conservative people wanted out of the school, and it's in that time. And the administrator had advised her and other teachers to, quote, balance any classroom books depicting the horrors of the Holocaust by also providing titles written from an opposing perspective. She was like, how do you give opposing views on the Holocaust?
That's such a weird thing, because that's also like saying, if you have any books on slavery, you also have to have a book next to it that says how great slavery was and how happy everyone was.
That's exactly what it is. teacher wondered aloud if she would have to pull down the children's classic Number of the Stars and other stories that tell the story of Holocaust from the perspective of the victims. Was she supposed to find a story told from the perspective of the Nazis? About how fun it was to kill all these Jews, or how great it was, or from the point of view of people that deny the Holocaust ever happened? Yeah, and balance books about slavery with books about white supremacy. The administrator's instruction, which was actually secretly recorded and provided to NBC News, was meant to help teachers comply with a new Texas law that required schools to present both sides of any currently controversial subject. But to this teacher at the time, the Holocaust guidance was the latest and most disturbing sign of the far right's tightening grip on her school district and a warning of what would be coming to schools across the country. Her fears were warranted. A recent historic survey of teachers revealed the toll exacted by 3 years of partisan attacks on public education. Two-thirds of U.S. teachers told Rand Corporation, the one that did the poll, that they had limited discussions of political and social issues. They had limited them, including racism and LGBTQ. Many said they self-censored because they feared losing their teaching licenses or because they didn't trust the administrators would defend them from parent complaints. This teacher who got into teaching as a way of living, getting a living and living her Christian faith by showing kindness and compassion to children, she was going to quit. She decided to stay on to fight what she believed in. She did an interview with NBC, and at least six other educators that spoke to reporters that week voiced their same concerns. The district says that they have not told teachers to ban books. McGurk said that's a lie. That's a flat-out lie. Later in the interview, in a moment it didn't make it into the final cut, McGurk explained that why she and other teachers were willing to put their jobs on the line during the situation. She said, we felt like nobody's going to listen to us until a teacher spoke up about it. She's the only one to have any consequences from this whole Holocaust fiasco. It blew up. She published an article headlined, South Lake School Leader Tells Teachers to Balance Holocaust Books with Opposing Views. It was on the nightly news. Our interview aired on NBC. The words Holocaust and South Lake were number one trending topic on Twitter. And the story became a symbol of overreach by the conservative movement against diversity, equity, and inclusion. The story got picked up by nearly every major news outlet in the country. The Auschwitz Memorial responded by posting tips for teaching about the Holocaust on social media and tagged the Carroll District's Twitter account with it.
And then the Stormfront website, which is the Nazi one, sent some tips on how to talk about it on the opposite side.
Yeah, we'd like to come down there and speak in front of your class, if you don't mind. Jewish authors, descendants of Holocaust survivors, went on cable news. They wrote a bunch of scathing editorials. The author of Number of the Stars appeared on CNN the next morning to tell John Brennan that she had initially chuckled when she heard the audio from the teacher training on NBC News. She said it seemed silly, but the more I thought about it, it wasn't laughable. It was ignorant, and ignorance so easily morphs into evil. The superintendent of the Carroll School District, Lane Ledbetter, apologized for the comments by one of his administrators and acknowledged that there are not two sides of the Holocaust. I wonder what the teaching is on the Holocaust in today's public schools.
Yeah, I mean, there were some Nazis, but they weren't all a part of it. Some of them felt bad while they were doing it.
They're only following orders. Man, can you imagine balance out your teaching of the Holocaust with an opposing view? She got some people gave her some crap over it. They were really disappointed that she went on NBC. She got a text from a conservative parent that once had a child in her class. A woman had spoken up during public comments that night, was seated nearby. The message sent a rush of panic. She said, I'm so disappointed you went to NBC. Well, she got school board voted in winter to prohibit employees from secretly recording district business. Can't do that anymore. And the administrator's instruction wasn't the problem. The fact that it was recorded, actually, and publicized was the problem.
Yeah, can't do that.
Wow. Thank God. Or we wouldn't know. What if your kid came home and spouted some crap about, oh, the Holocaust wasn't real. I mean, well, they ever killed some Jews, but not nearly. Maybe, 10,000 or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know what the possible thought is on that, or to, like, oh, you got to have competing views on it. Because it doesn't make sense on anything.
It's like, how about competing views on who won the last Super Bowl? Right? I mean, competing views on World War II.
Give me just a couple positives from the Khmer Rouge in their killing of the Cambodian fields.
Yeah, talk about the Syrian civil war in a positive light, you know? Here is, I wanted to play my Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham. He is such a, here he is. He's, no, that's not him, that's Netanyahu. Lindsey Graham. Here he is.
You just confirmed that we're delaying transfer or stopping transfer of certain weapons like 2,000-pound bombs to Israel. Is that correct?
Israel.
Secretary Elston. We're assessing we are right now.
Well, there are media reports that has happened. Are they incorrect?
That we have made a decision to?
Yeah.
Again, we've made no decisions. Okay. We're assessing.
Are you worried that if you make a decision to deny weapons that Israel say they need, that it would send a signal to Hamas and Iran to keep pushing?
Senator, we want to make sure that we're providing the right kinds of weaponry.
That's the right kind.
Would you have supported dropping the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, General Brown, to end World War II?
Well, Senator, I think it is based on the situation.
Well, we know. I mean, it's happened. We know. I'm not asking. They did it. Do you think that was disproportionate?
It was definitely.
Do you, in hindsight, think that was the right decision for America to drop two atomic bombs on the Japanese cities in question?
Well, I'll tell you, it stopped the World War.
Do you agree, General Austin? If you'd been around, would you say drop them?
I agree with the chairman here.
If we go back in time, says, hey, we got two atomic bombs, should we drop them? What would you say?
I think the leadership was interested in curtailing the...
Well, why can't he say yes?
Yeah, I mean, we look back and that was the correct decision. So, yes, that's pretty easy. I was expecting Lindsey Graham to say, now, what if we dropped three bombs? Would you be okay with the third bomb? Because I was really hoping for a third one.
Would you agree that we should drop a whole handful of these bombs on these dirty nips? They're trying to take over the world? I mean, come on. Look what they did to Pearl Harbor. Mother was so sad that day. I'd never seen her cry so hard. I couldn't wait to bomb those Japs.
What's Israel interested in?
Israel.
Do you believe Iran really wants to kill all the Jews if they could? Iranian regime? Yeah. Do you believe Hamas is serious when they say we'll keep doing it over and over again? Do you agree that they will if they can?
I do. Hamas, okay. Though,
right. Do you believe
the atomic bomb questions were just
it's some of those are tough. It was just ridiculous. But I do like that they can't. It's one of those where it's proof that you're never going to get a direct answer out of
right.
them during what you
exactly.
Think.
No, not one. You just say yes. Yeah, do you agree with dropping the bomb in the World War? Yes, of course.
I mean, you could dance around all day. Like, okay, maybe Iran maybe doesn't want to kill Hamas. We don't know. I mean. You can dance around that, but then when he goes, okay, well, what about dropping atomic bombs?
Well the leadership at the time, I believe. This is Denver's got a bad migrant problem. Illegals everywhere. I mean, it's like a trash heap. Living under a bridge, near some train tracks. A lot of them have left. These shelters to live under the train tracks, and now they have sent the mayor, Mike Johnston, a list of 13 demands. They're now making demands of us. We've given them an opportunity to. Well, you're afforded opportunity to be in this country illegally. We gave you a credit card, a phone, debit card, a phone. We're putting you up and providing shelter for you. But that's just not enough.
Drove them to Denver.
Right. Here's the list. There have been many complaints about the food being spoiled or not being enough and malnutrition. One of the demands is they be able to cook their own food with fresh, culturally appropriate ingredients provided by the city, not pre-made meals. They want to be provided with rice, chicken, flour, oil, butter, tomatoes, onions, etc. And people should not be punished for bringing and eating outside food. They want shower access to be available without time limits. They want to take a nice, long, hot shower. And they want these showers to be accessible whenever they want. Because they're not in the military. They're civilians. The third is medical professional visits. They want them to happen regularly. And referrals and connections for specialty care be made by the city. All of the illegals receive the same housing support that's been afforded to others. They cannot kick people out in 30 days without something stable established. Number five, there needs to be a clear, just process before exiting someone for any reason, including verbal, written, and final warnings. Six, all shelters will receive connection to employment support, including work permit applications for those who qualify. Consultations for each person in every family with free immigration lawyer must be arranged to discuss progress in their cases. And then the city will provide ongoing legal support in the form of immigration document clinics, including transportation to relevant court dates. The city will provide privacy for families and individuals within the shelter. No more verbal, physical, or mental abuse will be permitted by the staff, including no sheriff sleeping inside and monitoring 24/7. We are not criminals. We won't be treated as such.
You are criminals. Literally, by the law, you are criminals.
Right. Transportation for all children to and from their schools will be provided until they finish. No separating of families, regardless of if families have children or not. The city must schedule a meeting with the mayor and those directly involved in running the newcomer program ASAP to discuss further improvements and ways to support the migrants. The city must provide all residents with documents signed by a city official in English and Spanish with all of these demands that include a number to call to report mistreatment. My, my.
That's for them to leave the camp, the little under migrant bridge. Camp they're in and move into housing.
You know what? We're cool. You guys just stay right there under this bridge near the railroads. We're good.
Enjoy the summer. It's beautiful in Denver.
Migrants will cook their own food with fresh, culturally appropriate ingredients provided by the city.
Okay, I'm okay with you cooking your own food. Sure. But you guys are getting stipend checks. Go buy your own food. You don't have they're not going to come out with a shipment of chicken for you all to make sure you can make a roast con pollo every day.
Can you imagine? I mean, I don't know. Because the people that are providing these meals for any city to pick one that has an illegal problem like this, they are raking in the dough. $21 a meal for spaghettis with hot dogs cut up in it. I don't know why these damn illegals don't like spaghetti with hot dogs cut up in it.
Yeah, that's super American.
They want rice, chicken, flour, oil, butter, tomatoes, onions. I'm sure some salsa will be made, provided. Perhaps.
I mean, just the cost of fresh chicken being brought out there every day to them is right. Exorbitant. But then to say, oh, well, we want to, you got to have that shower access for us 24/7.
And no time limit.
No time limit.
No
yeah,
time limit.
We just want to sit there under there and just soak it up.
We want to take a 30-minute hot shower? We will.
Oh, I mean, you're telling everybody else in the city that they're under water restrictions and, you know, they can't, but we want to be able to just burn through the water. Oh, and also, you can't have any security in the building.
Right. Yeah. Because we're not criminals, damn it.
That just
I like I mean, that also you will provide us all with attorneys, immigration attorneys, and regular updates to meet with them at you at the expense of you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, that just smells of these nonprofit organizations
yeah.
that are going out. Somebody wrote that because there's no guy that just rolled in out of Mexico, crossed the border, and he's like, we got to get these demands filled out here.
Right. Yeah, that's some NGO group out there. That is just, I mean, imagine the nerve if you were to immigrate to another country illegally and they let you and you demanded that they provide fresh food for you to, all the ingredients, groceries every day for you to prepare your own food.
It does not work that way. Try as an American to cross the Canadian border illegally and then call up the government and say, hey, guys.
Where's your shelter at? And
I need food. I got to have American food. So
into like a T-bone, yeah. You know, baked potato, that type of stuff. Garlic bread. I don't want any spaghetti with a hot dog cut up in it either.
Try going towards Mexico that way and see what happens.
All right, when we return, we will get to Heather. Heather has answers. And the whole narrative that people have been pushing about mass migration is that it's going to drive economic growth and things will be great. Yeah, not so much. Hang on, it's the Shannon Burke Show. The whole narrative behind the mass migration to, in the UK, for example, which by all accounts is unrecognizable. According to data in the UK by the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development, the UK's GDP grew by 0.1% last year. The GDP per person fell by 0.8, drastically behind the G7 average of a growth of 1.2%, despite the UK seeing the second highest level of population growth, mass migration. All the globalist advocates of this type of migration argue that it increases tax revenues, it lifts the overall GDP, giving all these governments to their talking points. But on an individual basis, it's a completely different story. You know, it's a bit of completely different type of migration as well. If it's really great for the economy, they have to ask themselves why they don't see the GDP per capita growing. And this think tank noted that Boris Johnson, post-Brexit, promised to focus on highly selective skills-based immigration. But the system is in practice right now allows waves of foreigners coming into that country who either don't work at all or are employed in low-wage jobs. The net 2 million migrants that came to the UK from non-EU nations over the past 5 years, 15% arrived in the country with the principal aim of going to work. They also found the rush to import people from around the world has come with an economic cost. For example, migrants from Spain earn 40% more than on average than, say, migrants from Pakistan or Bangladesh. Migrants from the Middle East, North Africa, Turkey between the ages of 25 and 64 are twice as likely to be economically inactive, meaning
they don't do anything.
They don't do dick. In addition to not benefiting economically, the average Briton also suffering all the costs of mass migration, public service resources spent on foreigners, soaring inflation in the housing market, all of it really bad news. They have migration made up 89% of the 1.34 million addition to the housing deficit that tracks the number of homes not built in comparison to population growth. So really not, and I don't think we're going to see a whole bunch of GDP growth from migration here either. Especially when they're sending lists of demands for fresh chicken and cilantro. Judge Engeron is under investigation. He allegedly received some unsolicited advice from a high-profile attorney before fining President Trump $454 million. Well-known New York real estate a lawyer reportedly prompted the state of New York to investigate Judge Engeron after he claimed to have given the judge unsolicited advice. So he gave him the advice that he said, hey, you ought to investigate him because I gave him advice.
Well, they can't keep their mouths shut. There's so many people that get such a rush off of being that guy that's going to get Trump that they can't keep their mouths shut. It used to be pretty, we used to run where, hey, if you're going to do that kind of behind closed doors,
you don't brag about
illicit stuff, you don't brag about it. But they're so, everybody wants to get on TV and talk about it now, how they're the ones that got them.
Attorney Adam Lightman Bailey, real estate attorney, said at the time of the ruling in public that he spoke to Judge Engeron just 3 weeks before the ruling and told him to, quote, get it right. Engeron denies the story, says he was wholly uninfluenced by Bailey. New York State Commission on Judicial Conduct reportedly is looking into whether he violated rules. Engeron's spokesman denied the story. Bailey said in mid-February, the day of the ruling, he spoke to Engeron. He said, I saw him in the corner at the courthouse. I told my client I need to go, and I walked over, and we started talking. I wanted to know what I think and why. I really want him to get it right. Bailey claims that he's not a fan of Trump. This is in no way connected in any way and to any of the lawsuits or cases against him. But he has litigated in front of Engeron hundreds of times. He told him to get this judgment right because a ruling levying such a heavy fine against Trump could damage New York's economy. Bailey even claimed that Engeron had a lot of questions, like about certain cases as they spoke. No ex parte conversation concerning the matter occurred between Justice Engeron and Mr. Bailey or any other person. The decision Engeron issued February 16th was his alone, was deeply considered, and was wholly uninfluenced by this individual. So he didn't want him to levy such a heavy fine. He knew what would happen.
Yeah, he knew. He basically told him, "Hey, don't go crazy with this because it'll look bad."
Yeah, it'll hurt the city economically, and it has. According to multiple sources familiar with the case, the state's commission on judicial conduct will consider whether he broke the rules. It could take anywhere from months to over a year for this investigation. A New York appellate court had given the former president 10 days to put up the money, blah, blah, blah. $175 million is what he ended up posted.
I do love our legal system sometimes.
What do you mean?
Could take up to a year to investigate if he talked to a guy walking out of the courtroom.
Yes.
What are you doing for a year other than marking down your hours?
They're billable hours for some investigator somewhere, you know?
I mean, really, you asked Engeron, hey, did you talk to him? Okay, and then you ask the other guy, did you talk to him? Then you go down to the courthouse, and you pull up the footage, and are they talking to each other? Boom, we've got this done. Case closed. Call
right.
A day, guys.
I don't know. Is there a rule where some guy just can't go up to a judge who's in knowledge of a case and go, hey, judge, here's what I think you ought to do. I mean, he's a respected attorney. He knows Engeron.
Yeah, but he's an attorney giving advice on a case that he's not on.
Well, Engeron didn't take his advice. That's clear.
Yeah, but still, he sat there and talked to him, so maybe.
You are talking about a case and a judgment, so, you know, it's not ex parte, really. Is it ex parte? Because this guy, Bailey's not involved in the case at all. He's just standing around the courthouse and saw him. Anyway.
That's still, even if it's a frivolous thing, it doesn't take a year to investigate. I just don't, it drives me nuts when you always hear that. We're like, it'll take 6 months, a year, maybe. Actually, it'll probably take 2-3 years.
Oh, God knows how long it's going to take. I love this Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland. They got their own little pro-Gaza thing going on there as well. And they had written a bunch of pro-Palestine vandalism and graffiti on a wall. And so they hired a guy to come out and spray paint over it. And so he gets out there, sets up his sprayer. He's ready to go. And a bunch of these idiots show up and stand in front of the wall. And he just paints right over them.
They did somewhere along the way. I don't know if maybe they heard about or they all got face masks. Like they had plastic face masks put over them.
Wow.
But yeah, he just continued on his work day. He wasn't going to be slowed down.
He uses on X, believe that this is some type of assault. They're assaulted by the paid contractor. Nobody made the pay. Then people are like, hey, nobody made them stand there. They had the free will to walk away. And after the first guy got painted, the other guy standing there knew they were next. And they stood there and took it. It's just idiocy. Complete idiocy. Let's do that. You know, had to have the answers.
She can't wait to get up in your business.
Yes. Yes.
So indulge her. Send her your highly personal, deeply disturbed questions to heatherhasanswers@gmail.com.
heatherhasanswers@gmail.com. Trust the Burke Brain Trust to solve all of your problems. None of us are attorneys nor doctors, but I did spend 6 weeks in pre-med and 6.5 weeks in pre-law.
All right. That qualifies you.
Yep.
Dear Heather, I might be an asshole. Here's what I did. I bought my little sister an affordable used car. I came into some money. My sister was turning 18. Our parents have been promising to buy her one for her birthday, but so far, nada. My sister's been working very hard to save up for a car, but it's been tough. She's still in school and working part-time. Our parents promised her a car for her birthday, but they didn't specify what birthday or what kind of car it would be. And they know, or I know that they've been struggling financially. So I decided to surprise her and bought her a reliable used car. Nothing flashy, but perfect for a new driver. I gave it to her the day after her birthday. Note, yep, it wasn't this birthday that our parents got her a car. She was over the moon, crying tears of joy, and she drove straight to her friend's house to show it off. I was happy to be able to give her something she needed and wanted so much. However, my parents are pissed. They feel like I overstepped my boundaries and took away their opportunity to gift her a car. They argue that they would have managed to get her something and that I didn't give them a chance. They're upset that I didn't consult them first, and now they feel like they can't compete with what I've done. This was both the least and the most that I could do for my sister. I hope that makes sense. I didn't mean to undermine them, but I saw an opportunity to make my sister's life a little easier, and I took it. I wanted to take the financial burden off my parents and give my sister a head start with something that she's been dreaming of. And now there's tension in the family, and I'm wondering if I was in the wrong for not letting my parents handle it or even discussing it with them. Mandy in Panama City Beach. I think it was super nice.
Yeah, I do. I think
the kid's 18.
They
had time.
She should have involved the parents in some way and said, look, I know you guys are maybe having a little tough time coming up with the dough with this car. I ran it. I came into some money.
You guys can pay insurance.
Why don't you, or you know, throw me $500 and we'll say that it's from all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the overstep is that you went behind their back and got it to make yourself look good and feel good. It is a nice gift, but you probably should have at least ran it by them and said, hey, okay, guys, I know there's been an issue. You guys haven't been able to get a car. I've got it. I found one. It's perfect. And we'll get her a car.
Yeah. I've got a little extra dough right now, and let's just make it from all of us. Sign the card. Here you go. Right? That's all super, super, super nice of her. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I don't think she's a jerk for doing that.
No, I don't think she's a jerk.
That's awesome.
And then maybe she just needs to do a bit of a mea culpa to her parents. Say, sorry, I should have involved you. You know, feel free to, you know, throw me a grand or so and we'll consider you involved. But
well, that's why you should have led with that instead of just surprising her with it. Because you did. You are not going to admit it, but you tried to overshadow your parents.
Well, maybe she doesn't have that great a relationship with her parents and she just really needed to get her sister a car.
They didn't seem to make that statement, but she purposely overshadowed her parents by not including them anyway. When the parents were saying
it makes them feel like they're not adequate as parents, you know, they can't provide their kid with a car and, you know,
they've had 3 years to figure it out. They didn't do it in that time.
Well, that doesn't mean she didn't.
They had 18 years to figure it out.
Yeah, they did.
It doesn't say that she got her license at 16 or 17. Maybe she didn't. She took her time. There's a lot of people that take their time getting their license.
And also there's a lot of kids that are 18 that don't have a car.
That's true too,
you know.
And who's paying on that insurance on that car? Is she paying for the sister paying for the insurance on that vehicle now?
No, I mean that might be why it's an overstep because maybe the parents couldn't afford that. I know, I've been looking at insurance. It's like $500 a month to put a kid on your insurance.
Yeah, especially if they've totaled two cars.
Oh my god.
Or no, I'm sorry, three.
It's like you've heard that from somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's actually more like $675 for this individual for quarterly, I think.
Okay, quarterly. A neighbor that's ahead of us told us it was a month. But then again, her daughter's also crashed two or three cars. So I don't know.
My brother's name was in, his picture was on the wall at every insurance agency in the state. To not give him car insurance.
Yeah, I mean, there was some. Is that sister still living at home?
It doesn't sound like it.
The 18-year-old or the other one?
The one that got the car.
Mandy.
No, not the one that gifted. The one that was received in the car. Was she still at home? I mean,
probably.
Yeah.
She's 18. She just turned 18.
I don't feel bad about giving it to him, and just try to patch things up with your mother, your parents. But I would have. Got them involved because otherwise it does seem like you're just trying to show them up, you know.
I kind of don't feel that way, but okay.
What if you one of your kids bought your other kid a car because you and Mr. Heather fell on some hard times? I fired you from the show, and you couldn't. And would you? How would you feel? I mean, I've tried to put myself in their position.
Yeah.
I feel like a loser.
I mean, I get it. But
and yeah, also, I mean, we don't know any more of the story about how, I mean, is this sister responsible enough to have a vehicle? Maybe the parents were like, there's a reason we haven't bought her one yet, because we're afraid she's going to immediately take off and go, get in a bunch of trouble because she's not responsible enough.
Or she hasn't made the grades or hasn't taken care of her pets.
Or she's on the marijuana. All right.
The next one. Hey, Shannon Burke Show. Feeling stuck in my gay marriage. Maybe it would be the same in a straight marriage. I'm a good-looking 29-year-old dude, married to a 45-year-old dude, married in Jersey, 2018, OG from New York. When we met, I was so poor. Heck, I didn't even have a place to stay, and my parents are broke, so going back to them would have been a burden. I literally had to choose between rent and food. Wow, I know, we all have sob stories. I was staying with a friend who has tons of toxic traits and water damage to the home. My room was growing black mold. My husband, boyfriend at the time, saw my living situation, offered me to move in with him out of state to New Jersey with one condition, which was to marry him. I agreed because I had no other option. I was 24 and he was 40 at the time. It was the best choice I could have made. We got married quickly. I met him in July, married in December. This also helped me get my driver's license and medical insurance and other assets. After a year, my husband becomes disabled with conversion disorder.
What's that?
I looked it up. It's a condition in which a person experiences physical and sensory problems such as paralysis, numbness, blindness, deafness, or seizures with no underlying neurological pathology.
I bet limpness is in there too. Go on. Flaccidity. Sorry, I'm going to use a clinical word.
New Jersey husband can no longer work, so now it's all up to me, and we just watched me be homeless on my own. Anyway, fast forward a little bit. His mom comes into our lives, and it's like he's flipped a switch. He doesn't listen to me. He always asks his mom for her opinion, and he does what she says instead of what we both agree on. I have heard him talk to his mom about private stuff that we both agreed was going to stay just between the both of us. I've talked to him about it several times. He gets defensive. We have arguments. I tell him I don't talk to my mom about our personal lives, which is true, and that he should keep our stuff to ourselves. His mom doesn't like me. His mom's the type of person that takes a lot of control and acts like a victim, but she also doesn't like me because I stand my ground and don't let myself get manipulated by her. And she sees and knows that, but still smiles to my face and talks smack about me to my husband behind my back. Another thing is he's always thinking about money. Everything is money to him. Whenever I come back from work, he asks me, how much money did you make today, instead of how was your day? I've talked to him about this multiple times. He gets defensive and we argue. We went to counseling and really didn't help much because he would listen to the counselor for a couple days and then return back to his old ways, or his mom came to visit. This has been going on for years. I feel stuck because I have nowhere to go. I have no money because I pay for food and part of the bills. My health insurance ran out on the last day of April, so I currently don't have health insurance. I can't afford one at the moment, even if I had my own medical issues going on. If I leave the marriage and get divorced, I have to take my mom with me because she lives with us now, too. If I file for divorce, I have to pay alimony because my husband's disabled and I don't have money, but neither does he, but he gets disability help. After all, me and my mom have nowhere to go. I just want to be heard and see opinions from others or similar experiences. I feel like I'm too young to still be dealing with this type of life. I don't know what to do. Brandon in Wisconsin.
Man. Damn, bro. He's in Wisconsin?
Yes.
No, not so in New Jersey? They got married in New Jersey.
Yeah, married in New Jersey.
Man, that sounds, I don't know that 29 and 45 is that big of an age difference. I know dudes that, you know, that marry younger chicks like that, and they seem to make it work. It does sound like he got married for...
Well, he says he got married for the wrong reasons, basically.
Right. Man. Yeah.
I wonder if his husband would be willing to just, like, dissolve the marriage. Like, I mean, you don't have to always pay alimony. I don't know what the laws are in New Jersey or Wisconsin, but... You could just, like, I hear people all the time taking a month to get divorced. Not like my parents didn't take a month. They took years.
Yeah.
But
sometimes you can get it done quick if there's no, if it's not contested.
House, right. Nothing to contest.
There is not much to contest, but depending on what state he lives in, he may be subject to some type of alimony. And it sounds to me like that dude would need it.
Well, and his husband, like, always asking about money, like, he married the wrong dude if he thought that it was going to be a free ride. Because this guy's used to being homeless.
He said when he comes home from work, he asked him how much money he made that day. So he's got a job, probably maybe like food service. Yeah.
Server, bartender.
Yeah.
Which can be great money.
Sure can.
But
man, if he's really that unhappy, sad to say, you know, not 52% of all marriages end in divorce.
That's so sad.
It is. But it's got to be rough. But yeah. Look, here's the good news: is he's 29.
24.
No, he was 29.
He's 29.
He got married when he was 24.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm taking notes.
My advice for him.
Yes.
Learn to juggle. Like, really get good at it. And no, I'm talking like really get good at it. Start learning to juggle like chainsaws and rolling pins and run away to the circus, because that's the only way you're going to get out of all that. Your mom's living with you. Your disabled husband's living with you. You may want to actually, honestly, don't Google search it, but maybe ask around a little bit on how to fake your death and just disappear and start a new life and maybe become a cabana boy down in the Bahamas, something like that.
Maybe tell him you've discovered you like women and you're no longer gay.
Yeah, there you go.
That would be one of those things that would dissolve a marriage, wouldn't it? Yes. Like, without issue.
Man, I feel for that guy. I'm sorry. That's a bad situation to be in.
Yeah. He'll make it, though. I mean,
he's
made it out of homelessness.
Yeah.
He can make it out of this.
Did he say he was a good-looking 29-year-old guy?
He thinks so.
All right.
Start hanging by the bars again. You'll find somebody.
You got one more?
Nope, that's it for
today.
That's
it?
Yes.
Oh, let's shoot for three a day.
Well, I mean,
Heather has answers at gmail.com.
Send more in, please.
Thank you, Heather. That's the first gay relationship that we have. Is it?
I think we've had one or two others. Yeah. I don't think.
I wonder if they, they're still, active. I don't know if that disease, what was it called? Conversion disease? I don't know if it
does. Not if he's blind, deaf, and he probably is not getting anything up anymore.
Yeah. Maybe he's a power bottom. It doesn't really matter.
That condition doesn't mean he's got all the symptoms at one time.
Well, good luck. What was his name?
Brandon.
Good luck, Brandon, in Wisconsin. Damn it.
We're looking for you to be happy, man.
The mother's coming over. One mother lives with you all the time, and the other one comes to visit and nag. Ugh, that ain't enough is enough to kill a relationship. You know? When we return, we'll get to your ever-popular remarks. And I'll tell you how Emerson College handled their anti-Israel campus occupiers. 118 students were arrested. But what happened after that is what really matters. Stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show. Emerson College, Boston. They have their own little. Your college just isn't hip if it doesn't have an anti-Israel thing going on. The mayor, Michelle Wu, told Boston.com she made the decision to clear the encampment at Emerson College with the police commissioner there, citing public safety and fire hazards. The place is downtown Boston. The encampment was between two buildings. The president, Jay Bernhardt, wrote in an April 28th statement that, quote, we should respect the protesters' right to raise their collective voices while also acknowledging the disruptions created by their encampment occupying a public right of way. College president said he and his administration encouraged the police to remove the tents from the alley, but they also asked that they make no arrests. Well, apparently there was reason to arrest 118 of these little princes and princesses. And when the college president, Bernhardt, heard about that, he sent staff members down to the jail with bail money to bail them out.
They paid to get their own protesters out of jail.
Yeah. He said, look, we know the events that night were and are emotionally overwhelming for our entire community, especially for the students present at the protest and the staff and the faculty that were on site to provide support. Emerson has continued to be supportive in multiple ways, sending staff to all the precincts and posting bail for arrested students, canceling and modifying classes so our community could process what had occurred, and providing additional care and support for our community to heal. Additionally, the college will not be bringing any disciplinary charges against any of the protesters related to the encampment and asked the DA not to pursue charges against the perfect little angels.
See, this is what's wrong. They just coddled them. They got arrested because a lot of them probably were resisting arrest from the officers told them to move on.
Right.
And they resisted, and that's why they were arrested, and you went down and
bailed their asses out of jail.
Apologized to them and bailed them out.
I mean, the police commissioner and the mayor had good reason to. They have a city ordinance there that the homeless people, they can't even camp anywhere, and you've allowed a bunch of these students to camp. You can't turn around to the homeless people and go, hey, yeah, but these are kids that hate Israel, so we're letting them camp, you know. Wow. Man. Screw health and safety, I guess, huh? You know, looking the other way for these types of things is only encouraged. I'm surprised you haven't put a new encampment. I haven't started a new encampment already.
I'm surprised Emerson didn't go out there and buy them new tents to put it out there for them. I mean, that's just embarrassing.
It is. It really is. Ay. IBM. BLM. I do have an IBM story. BLM has filed a $33 million lawsuit against Tides Foundation. Tides Foundation is a clearinghouse of liberal BS 501c3 groups. And if you start a group and you're not a 501c3, you can raise money through the Tides Foundation, and it is doled out here and doled out there. Well, the BLM people, the Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation, is suing the Tides Foundation, rather progressive nonprofit, because they believe that Tides has withheld $33 million in donations, and is instead funding this campus nonsense.
I love when one grifting group gets upset that another grifting group is getting the money for grifting group.
They're getting out grifted?
Yeah.
Tides doled out an undisclosed amount of donations to BLM breakaway groups run by anti-police activist Melina Abdullah. She lost a frivolous lawsuit against Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation. Tides is based in L.A. and San Francisco and managed donations for pro-Palestinian groups that have supported anti-Israel protests on these campuses across the country. George Soros handed them $14 million. And then other projects, I guess, apply for it. Other woke leftist organizations apply for the money. Tides has $1.4 billion in assets and basically acts as a bank without the regulation.
Yeah, Tides is one of those groups that's where the Soros has dumped money into, so you can't really trace it back to them. Yeah. And then they go, we didn't give money to the pro-Palestine people. We donated to Tides, who's a good a charity organization.
And they, in turn, take about between 3% and 9% of the donations that they process, you know, for the effort, you know. Woo. We need to find a way to get these woke protest groups to fight each other.
I mean, they are now. Now that when one group notices the other group's getting money and they're not anymore, they're going to fight over it.
I don't know exactly how they figure out, how does Black Lives Matter Global know that they're owed $33 million I mean, is there a certain amount they get? Is it a regular payment? Is
I'm sure they had some sort of like, you know, they knew how much donations had been put into them. And while Tides, on the other hand, is like, we have no idea what you're talking about. We just can't seem to find any more money from you for you guys.
Tides says, look, resources in the Black Lives Matter Collective Action Fund were never intended to be granted to a large, well-funded national organization like Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation. We're always intended to be granted to local Black Lives Matter chapters. They believe that that lawsuit seeks to circumvent the intent of the fund's donors and deprive grassroots Black Lives Matter chapters critical resources. Man. It's a lot of money in this stuff, man. $1.4 billion. Think about that. How much money is churned around BS, woke, progressive, lefty organizations to wreak havoc on the streets and campuses of America.
Billions upon billions.
All to sway your opinion one way or another. Let's get some remarks rolling, shall we?
From the Florida Man Radio app and powered by Morganic Meats, it's time for your remarks. Just don't be stupid.
Archives, headquarters at the app, text, call the show, hit the button at the bottom and make a statement. Here we go.
Yeah, Lindsey Graham sounds like he got his bombs dropped. Dude sounds neutered.
Spaghetti with hot dogs cut up in it is Young Sheldon's favorite food on the show Young Sheldon.
How did I not know that?
Yeah, I know. I didn't know that. I don't watch that show.
Catering to these illegals is abhorrent. We have all these veterans in the street, and we're trying to feed these people who aren't even supposed to be here. And to say that they've not committed crimes is crazy because they're illegal as soon as they cross the line. Unbelievable. If
their presence here cites a crime.
Hey, guys. Wow, these migrants sure have a long list of demands. It's funny, they said they're not in the military. So maybe we should just sign them all up and send them out to basic training right away. Maybe they'll get those long showers they want. And maybe they'll enjoy the food a little better, too. They've got some nerve. Be-do-be-do.
Hey, Sando E. Heather, effed up in a tub up here from Okaloosa Island. Got off the beach a little early. Long story short about going to another country and asking for demands, went up to Canada and did the Winter Olympics up there in 08, 09, lived in a house with three Mexicans from Naperville, estimating and doing all the Winter Olympic venues up there. Anyway, went to go get my knee checked out and was blown out, and they said, we'll take care of it, but it's going to take you about a year and a half on a waiting list.
Year and a half.
Yeah, it's that socialized medicine.
Yeah.
Day before yesterday's show guy here, I usually only do gay for pay, but there's just something about Star Trek guy that I just couldn't resist. P.S. Dude gave me the clap.
Come on.
Well, the Canadian government is housing and feeding people who illegally cross our border. A lot of people crossing from New York State. But it'd be no problem. You guys get American-style food. It's pretty much what we eat. The only thing you might not be able to get would be things like, you know, grits, proper biscuits and gravy, and other Southern fare. Be-do-be-do.
Well, I mean, those are my cultural appropriate foods.
Right. So. I need biscuits and gravy. That's my culturally appropriate Southern food. I mean, asking for fresh ingredients every day for them to make their own food is, I mean, that you're a guest.
Yeah, because they have no place to store it, so that means that they have to wait every day for a person to come by with a, you know, a Schwann's or whatever they used to truck to bring by their fresh veggies and chicken for them.
Well, maybe then we should just set up a little La Hacienda grocery store for them.
I can't agree with Liberal Larry on this one. I think the gentlemen and ladies are coming to the country and just want a better life. And
man, I'm straight as a male, but I love all this.
Speak up. Take your phone out of your pocket.
Hey, to the chick up in Wisconsin. Just do what my buddy's dad did. He said he was going to the store to buy a can of paint. Never came back.
Man, he didn't even go with the cigarettes one. Usually the dads go get the cigarettes and never come back. He was like, I'm going to go get some paint and definitely, you know, get this
paint
fence.
This area, whole yeah,
right, this area right here.
Why are you packing a bag? Don't you worry about it.
Man, I don't know about Eric now. He seems to have jumped the shark.
All right, dude. If you're gonna talk that slow, I can't take it. I can't take it.
I think what Brandon in Wisconsin needs to do is find another homosexual relationship, so he's got some place to go after he leaves this guy. Wow.
What was that girl's name that was on the show? She called herself a homosexual.
Wow.
I'm totally. What was her name? The hell's wrong with me?
What's up, boys? Calling Atlanta. Yeah, I've received a lot of vehicles over the years from both my mother and father's side of the family, and I've also given a few of them away to family members. What really chapped my ass though was when I gave like my prized Jeep Cherokee '96 two-door stick shift to my cousin, who I love. But he like wrecked it immediately. I was like, man.
Rosie also.
Rosie, yeah, thank you. I cannot remember that.
Shannon, when you have Kimmer on later, have Flounder play you the Palestinian cultural appropriation scarf piece.
I have that piece. It's a guy, you know, for a bunch of liberal progressive kids that can't stand cultural appropriation, every damn one of them has the keffiyeh scarf. Every one of them. And they're not Muslim.
The one with it's him yelling at her. He's got a Muslim guy looking guy next to him too. And the guy, he goes, that's cultural appropriation. The guy goes, he's got a point.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Sounds to me like that lost little soul needs to go home to church, kneel down, put his head in the pastor's lap, and whistle Dixie.
What the hell?
I'm sure he'll get a lot of Hail Marys and one big hallelujah when the whistle pops.
All right. Thank God. Out of your two for today.
Hey, Tide, you can't give them that money for rioting and burning. That's our money for rioting and burning. Be-do, be-do.
That's basically what it is. It's a damn, it's a donation fight. We need that money for bricks. We need it for tents and anti-Israel signs. Where do they get those signs? You see these signs? They're all very professionally made and printed in mass. I mean...
No, you don't go to your local protest sign store?
We're having a special today on anti-fascist, all of our anti-fascist collection.
Afternoon, fellas and Miss Heather. This is Katie from Crestview. But seriously, all these illegals have this stick so far up their butt for the simple fact that cities like New York are giving them $1,400 a month just for being there. If that's not buying votes, I don't know what is. And if they want to make all of these demands, how about they all retain an attorney to file for citizenship with this money that they're getting from us for free anyway? Beat it, beat it.
The fact that you have demands, you know, you're here by this administration's good graces and the liberals in your city that are, you know, doing what they can to take care of you, and you're demanding something. I think if you demand something, we just swing by, get a truck, load you guys back up in it, and back to wherever you came from, yeah. We go.
Head on in, guys. We got most of the chicken and rice inside that van over there.
Way in the back. You'll find we put some extra jalapenos in there for you.
Hey, Shannon. Richard from Crestview. Just wanted to touch on something you and Bubba were touching on this morning about the whole radio thing. I got to say, when I'm going to work, I will sit in my car until you go on commercial break. And sometimes I'll even go with the tees, stay in the truck until it comes back on. You know what I'm saying? So kudos to you guys. You guys are really knocking it out of the park.
Until Bubba's one day co-host, Brian, this morning, he goes, oh, yeah, terrestrial radio is dying medium. I'm like, what is wrong with you? You're on it right now, you idiot.
Well, was he also trying to promote his five other podcasts he's doing, too?
I don't know that he mentioned any, but, you know, I quickly pulled up, you know, the numbers. 89% of people seeking some type of audio entertainment turn to terrestrial radio. And it's especially for spoken word, you know. If you want to hear some kind of music, you just dial it up and listen to it on demand.
Well, yeah, because it is also still personality. It's not music. Yeah, you can find it everywhere. But if you have a specific person you want to listen to, a lot of times it's on the radio. That's where you got to go.
Jesus.
Yeah, just tell that gay guy to go find someone his own age, man. Come home with some D on his breath a couple of nights in a row. Boy. That should do the trick. Beedoo, beedoo.
All right, solid. Good Lord.
He just maybe needs to save up a little scratch and maybe take a trip down to Fire Island for a little while. And
yeah.
A little vacation for himself.
He should definitely get out. Sounds like he's got a whole lot of disposable income at the moment, though.
Yeah.
But if he's working in the food service industry, he can find a job anywhere, pretty much, right, these days?
Oh, yeah.
You just got to go to a finer, you know. I knew a dude that I ran a restaurant in Dallas, and two doors down was another place called Actuel, a French, blah, blah. I mean, this place was, I mean, every waiter there drove a BMW or a Mercedes. Everyone. And they were dressed impeccably to the black, the black weight goes all the way down to the floor apron and this tie and. And if they broke a plate, they bought it. That's how expensive their china was. It was really, these guys would be unusual for them to have $1,000 night on a Friday night.
Yeah, I mean.
As a waiter.
And that, it's the high end stuff. You don't even have to go that high end, though. I made stupid money working for the Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah.
Stupid money.
Yeah, you had to memorize that. You should have made, you had to memorize that dictionary.
Yeah, I knew that dictionary of menu backwards and forwards. But yeah, I would only work probably 4 days a week, maybe a morning shift, and then definitely a couple night shifts during there. And yeah, I walked away with enough money to be quite happy.
Yeah. I used to make a decent, good, really good money as a bartender. Hold on.
I'm not drinking and driving. I just drink at stop lights and stop signs. But while driving, right. I don't drink.
Good advice. Good advice. do we have that song? We'll get it before we'll talk about Mr. Brightside.
I have it, yeah.
Oh, you do, really?
Yeah, we have it. It's in our rotation.
Play a little bit of it. There's a science to why this song is so popular, but it's never been number one.
We'll get it
in a break. You know the song, The Killer's Mr. Brightside? It is just overtaken Wonderwall as the biggest selling single ever to hit number one in the UK. Has 540.3 million streams. It sold 1.1 million copies since its 2003 release. And really, and I don't know if they wrote it this way, but there's a science apparently to it. Chord changes, neither the chord or the outro end on the first chord of the key, creating tension and making the listener want to play it again and resolve it. The balance of predictability and surprise, along with the unfinished sounding chorus, the verses are comprised of a lot of repeating notes to balance the predictable with the unpredictable. The nursery rhyme-like theme, the melody almost exclusively goes up or down just by one note at a time, similar to Three Blind Mice, making it easy to remember and to sing along. It has a lot of musical features common with happy songs, like a fast tempo, electric guitars, and a strong 1-2-1-2 beat. So did the guy sit down and go, okay, guys, we've got to have a strong 1-2-1-2 beat. Okay, we got you there. Okay, we got to have, we want the melody to go up, up or down just by a note at a time. Or do they write it and just land on a scientific masterpiece?
I think they just wrote it and landed on it. I mean, there is some science to it when it comes to pop songs, but to have it that specifically drawn out, I doubt it. I think they just sounded good to them. And it might have been the science got there because it sounded good to them in their ears. And then when you find out the science of, hey, that's why that sounded the way that it did.
But they broke it down.
I mean, it's been out for 20 years that's now, true, yeah. So it's been broken down lots of times because it is such a, I mean, you hear that song so often in TV shows and movies and.
It is the biggest selling single never to reach number one.
I think for a while in the UK, it was still charting.
Wow. Their findings that the most popular songs tend to include surprising chords that they reflect in our brain's inbuilt preference. The highest earning song, Mr. Brightside, is primarily in the key of C, which contains the chords C sharp, D sharp, F, F sharp, G sharp, A sharp, C, and A. Common for a chorus to start and finish in the first chord of the key, as it was, our ears like to hear that. It creates a pleasant sense that the song is returned. They go into very deep. The outro and the intro is G sharp rather than returning to the C sharp. That adds tension and another example of harmonic surprise. Would you, a critic, listen to that song? That song's got no harmonic surprise. It's terrible.
I don't think so, but you can definitely hear it in the song that there is a, you know, there's usually a very progressive leave, you know, entering and exiting right. of the chorus, and it's, that song doesn't have it. It's jarring when it comes back out of it.
Songwriters often rob the listener of the sense of resolution, as is done in Mr. Brightside. And once you, it automatically makes you want to play the song again. Like crack.
It is. It's audio crack.
We're getting dark?
We're going to have some fun today. I know you're a big fan of the Lizard on the Treadmill science experience.
Better believe it.
And there actually is an award for that.
Really?
I think we've talked about it before, the Ig Nobel Award.
Ig Nobel Award for the dumbest research project?
For the dumbest research projects that are actual research projects. They're not just goofy whatever joke stuff. It's not like, I'm trying to think of what there's a couple of awards that are just kind of garbage. They're just joke stuff. But the Ig Nobel actually is an award that's given out every year around the time that the Nobel Prize is given out. And it is for the best research into something that is weird, that has actually accomplished something though.
Oh, okay. So it's not frivolous.
Kind of. There. We'll talk about it. It's very hard to explain, but yes, the research is fixed out of it. But it is a very lizard on a treadmill. Like you figured out why this lizard can run fast on a treadmill in the end of it.
All right, I believe it. We'll do it next. It's the Shannon Burke Show. I think this is. I want to play that. Is it, you know, this clean that cultural appropriation kafia clip?
I think so.
Well, just get ready. It's not long.
Come on. I know this is an outdated term, but is cultural appropriation not a thing anymore? I don't think you're Middle Eastern. You can't wear that scarf.
Like, technically, man, that is cultural appropriation.
That's shame. Shame, shame, shame. You really should be ashamed of yourself. No, I'm going to film it right now. Look at that. That is a white person. That is a white person. Shame! Shame!
It is cultural appropriation.
Shame!
I mean, it is.
I love that. That is cultural appropriation.
It is cultural appropriation. That's funny. Jewish dating app users say they're getting grilled on the Israel-Palestine conflict by anti-Semitic matches demanding to know if they're a Zionist and mocking their Star of David emojis. What is the name of the Jewish singles?
Well, it used to be J-Date.
Oh, that's right. They had a J-Date. One guy, Itmar Edelman, a 34-year-old, said when he messaged the woman on Hinge, her first response was, "Hey, this is unfair because I don't know the question to everyone out on Hinge, but thoughts on IDF?" Jake Williams had a similar experience. He matched with a guy named Eric on Grindr, the video player. He sent his match a selfie, showed him wearing a Star of David necklace. And he said, "Do a lot of people," the guy responded and said, "Do a lot of people ask you about Palestine? What's your opinion on it?" One guy describes himself as a charming Jewish boy on the dating apps. All of his matches have asked him about Israel. They say, "Before we go any further, are you a Zionist?"
"Why, yes."
"Why, yes, I'm a Zionist." When a student asks what flag, there was no flag on his profile, the Israeli flag. Oh, some guy messaged him, "Get that dumbass flag off my message, please." It was the Israeli flag. They have to answer. I mean, just to get a date, you have to come clean on where do you stand on Israel and Gaza. One guy, a 30-year-old, lives in Argentina, said she sent a message to a cute boy that read, "What up, kid?" And she was shocked by the reply, which responded, "Horrified by the genocide in Gaza. How are you doing?"
Well, I guess, all right, okay here.
Wow.
Had a, Starbucks for lunch, and I didn't even think about the genocide once.
I haven't thought about it yet. I don't know, maybe you could use it to get, liberal girls. You could just pretend, oh, yeah,
genocide. I cry myself to sleep every night thinking about those poor children.
Ceasefire, yeah, that's all I think about is ceasefire. And then you're in bed with no time.
I have a tattoo that says ceasefire.
You could, on your knuckles, you could spell out ceasefire.
You really think into this, though, because now there's a couple companies that I saw on Facebook that were advertising that do they're super temporary tattoos. Like, those suckers will stay on you for a while. You can't even wash them off.
I'd like to get some of those with my face on it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, those are temporary. These ones, you put it on there, and it's almost like henna, but they look cool. They look the actual shade and everything like you have a real tattoo there.
Is it like lick and stick type deals? You got to get them wet?
Look like temporary. You put them on there, and you could see it like henna, where you could see it coloring in as it goes, and then it's dark and it looks like a shaded tattoo. I'd have to see one in actual action. They look quality, but follow me here. Is just go get a bunch of those and just get like free Palestine on one arm and ceasefire for humanity on the other, and you're good to go for a summer.
Yes.
You could just rock your way through the liberal camp, and then school starts in the fall. Everything's worn off. You're good to go again.
You could just go from encampment to encampment to encampment. Get all kinds of crazy ass.
Get a crying Palestinian kid across your chest.
Oh, let's get dark, shall we?
Yeah, let's do that.
It's Disturbing History with EZ. There's a lot of history out there. Some of it isn't in the books.
To win a Nobel Prize. It's not that hard, actually, apparently. And they tried to give... They gave Obama one, right? Did he win it? I know he was nominated.
Oh, he got one like a month after he was in office.
Yeah, he was like in president for like less than a month.
He got a pre-Nobel, like a Nobel Prize in advance of all the wonderful things that they just knew he would do.
Which
he
followed up by bombing children. Yeah. A good old Nobel Peace Prize. But it's one of the greatest honors in the academic world. Scientists, writers, politicians, journalists, are more nominated each year to receive the coveted award that's given in Stockholm. While the Nobel Prize Foundation's committee is busy deciding who will be recognized for the outstanding contributions, another group is making up selections of a little different type, the Annals of Improbable Research. It's a satirical magazine that publishes news of real but peculiar going-ons in the world of science. Each year, they celebrate the individuals who have made a mark with their strange and humorous scientific research, and this is called the Ig Nobel Award.
Ig Nobel.
Yep. The Lighthearted Award is designed to honor achievements that make people laugh, then think, and it's a ceremony that's held at Harvard every September.
Hmm.
Back in 2016, the Ig Nobel Biology Prize was awarded jointly to Charles Foster and Thomas Thwaites.
Thwaites?
Thwaites, yes. Throughout his career, Foster, who is an Oxford University graduate, lived in the wild as a bird, a badger, a deer, an otter, and a fox. He explains that his motivation in all this research to discover who or what we are and what on earth we are doing here.
At the same time he lived as
No, he's dressed up as these animals and tried to live as them out there in the wild.
God.
Now, Thomas Thwaites is not as insane as a one Charles Foster Oxford graduate who lives as certain animals. Thwaites has his own reasons for joining up with this. He builds prosthetic leg extensions.
All right. That's good. That's a good noble field mm-hmm. to be in, right?
Well, he wanted to test them out. And old Charles Foster wanted to be a goat. So he built prosthetic legs for climbing in the Alps to travel along with a herd of goats. That's right. Charles Foster became a goat. He explains, I tried to become a goat to escape the angst inherent in being a human being.
I tried to become a goat.
Yep. The project became an exploration of how close modern technology can take us in fulfilling an ancient human dream and to take on the characteristics from other animals. That man has showed up at a furry convention, and he's gotten in one of those scruff piles.
Oh, he's the king of the furries. They probably put him up on their furry shoulders and march him around.
Poor Thomas Thwaites just wants to make prosthetics, and he's like, all right, I'll make you some goat prosthetics so you can... And
I don't even know how that... So he'd be on all fours?
All fours, yes. I actually saw the picture of him. He had extensions that so he could be on all fours, but you know, humans just don't... We don't work well on all fours.
The front's shorter than the back legs.
Yeah, so he had extensions that made it so he could be on all fours with them being equal level. And he also wore like a silver helmet and like a silver suit. And then he was hanging around like just walking through with them goats. And of course the goats are like, what the hell is going on?
And he would climb the mountains
and
like a mountain goat?
Through the Alps, yeah.
And was he given a grant to do this?
Yeah. They were given money for this. I get a lot of this Thomas Thwaites who's like, I'm working on the prosthetics thing. He just found Charles Foster, who's insane, apparently.
I've been waiting for this opportunity.
André Geim of the University of Nijmegen in the Netherlands, and one Sir Michael Berry of Bristol University, England, won the prize in physics for their research in levitation.
Levitation?
Now.
Did he ever levitate himself?
No, but if you had to think of what do you think this guy levitated?
Did he actually levitate something?
He got something to levitate, yes.
A pencil?
Nope.
Himself?
No, definitely alive.
A person? A fish? A bird?
He got some frogs.
He levitated some frogs?
Yep. Using a levitron, which is a device consisting of opposing magnets that interact to create a magnetic field, the researchers managed to levitate a living frog 6 feet into the air.
Wow. And he just hung there?
Just got him up there spinning. Frog in there, frog. Not sure what's going on, trying not to puke. Actually, I don't know if frogs can puke. That might be an issue with them. I don't know. Frogs were the only species to have a turn float in midair. However, the researchers also caused a fish to levitate. So you did have a fish.
Wow.
A mouse and some vegetables. Geim's brilliant mind and out-of-the-box thinking have earned him the distinction of being the first person to ever be awarded the Nobel Prize as well as the Ig Nobel Prize. So he got a Nobel Prize for his work in magnetic levitation.
And the levitating frog got him an Ig Nobel?
Yep.
Perfect.
I'd love to try this one out here in the office. Maybe not so much for the bosses, but in 2017, the Ig Nobel Economics Prize was taken home by six researchers for their joint effort in discovering whether voodoo dolls could be used to help employees deal with their abusive bosses.
All right.
The team states that it is natural for people to want to retaliate against mean management, but also that direct retaliation may do more harm than good. The solution? They rounded up a large group of employees, gave them access to voodoo dolls, and ask the participants to name the doll with the initials of their boss and just, you know, do what you do with a voodoo doll. So poking it. And
they wanted to test and see if it would change the situation at work?
Yeah, make the boss less mean. Using pins, pliers, and flame, the group was encouraged to punish the little playthings while thinking of a time they were wronged by their doll's namesake.
Pliers?
Yeah, like pulling on it with a plier and...
Ugh.
The results do speak for themselves. After beating up their voodoo dolls, the participants experienced a reduction in the internal sense of injustice.
Made them feel better.
They felt that they were actually... they do say that none of the actual... They don't believe the voodoo doll actually worked on the bosses because, well, that's a lot of questionable hocus pocus.
Though. Right. Yeah, I have a voodoo doll of Biden and a voodoo doll of Pelosi. Well, actually, they're like dog toys, but they look like voodoo dolls.
I say you got to actually have some hair inside them, though, to get the voodoo off on them. I don't think you can just...
Oh, hair of the person?
Yeah, you have to have some sort of body part of the person to get the voodoo magic to work.
I didn't know that. That's why mine never worked.
Yeah. Justin Schmidt. This is a man who, he created his own index, and he had to use certain body parts to learn about this index. He was jointly awarded the Physiology and Entomology Prize for his mission to rank over 83 insects based on the painfulness of their stings. And Schmidt took it upon himself to personally experience each and every sting. With the results of his research, he created the Schmidt Sting Pain Index, which sorted each creature on a scale of 1 to 4. Schmidt rated one of his most painful stings as coming from the bullet ant, which I've heard are horrendous.
Bullet ant?
Yeah, bullet ant. These big ants, and I've seen them put, like, the people that do it, you put them on the arm, and they lose it almost immediately.
Ugh.
He ranked
There's a TV show like that, isn't there?
Yeah, the guy's name is Coyote Peterson, I think is his name.
I don't know. And he subjects himself to all types of
things like that. Yeah. There's a YouTube. I want to say his name's Coyote Peterson, but I'm sure I'll get corrected on that.
Yeah.
He ranked it as a sting as a 4, describes it as pure, intense, brilliant pain, like walking over flaming charcoal with a 3-inch nail embedded in your heel.
Wow. How long did it last? Did it get into that?
It doesn't say how long, but I've understood it can last for quite a while, actually. The other winner that year, though, happened to be Michael L. Smith. He conducted his research into the painfulness of the honeybee sting. Doesn't seem like he really kept up with old...
Hell no.
Well, kind of.
Honeybee?
Yeah.
This is normal everyday honeybee?
Just a normal everyday honeybee. So you're like, oh,
that's mild.
Come on, old Justin Schmidt. He's got
hornets getting stung and bullet ants.
Yeah, well, he did it not just once, but 28 times all over his body, including the back of his knee, the arch of his foot, his nipple, and the most painful place was the penis. Nostril, the upper lip, and the penis shaft. Yeah, he let a honeybee sting his...
What an idiot.
...member.
Bee sting therapy is, I know a person who got cured from their Lyme disease with bee sting therapy. Not on their penis, though.
I didn't even say, did it involve that? Because that's...
No penis.
He actually rated his on a scale of 1 to 10. I believe the penis shaft was a 10, so...
Good to know.
At least he started with the bees, though. Old Justin Smith's like, bullet ant, bullet ant, bullet ant.
Oh...
Michael L. Smith was like, all right, I'll start with bees, but...
I'm not going to do bullet ant, but I will sting my penis.
Yeah. Does that give me an award?
You try a bullet ant on your penis and tell me how it works, buddy.
It's not only scientific research you're awarded for their ingenuity when it comes to Ig Nobles. Arturas Zukas, the mayor of Vilnius, Lithuania, in 2011, took to the streets to remedy the problem of luxury car owners parking illegally and blocking the city's bicycle lanes. So... You want to say, how did Arturas Zukas, the mayor of Vilnius, come up with how to remove luxury vehicles from the bicycle lanes?
No.
He drove an armored personal carrier over top of said luxury vehicles because they were illegally parked. Using a tank-like armored vehicle, Zukas was filmed joyfully rolling over an expensive-looking car, completely crushing it.
I mean, would there be some liability involved?
He's the mayor of Lithuania. He can do what he wants.
I guess so.
Available for viewing on YouTube, the narrator in the video states that a tank is the best solution to deal with drivers who think they're above the law.
All right. That would piss me off. I'd never park in a bike lane.
The 30th annual Ig Nobel Prize ceremony was held in 2020 and was the first time the ceremony was hosted online due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Miranda Giacomin and Nicolas Ruhl jointly received the psychology prize. Their research was dedicated to discovering whether those with grandiose narcissism can be identified by only the thickness and the density of their eyebrows. If you got big, thick, dense eyebrows, are you more of a narcissist or less of a narcissist?
More.
Well, the broader aim of their pair's research was to potentially help others identify narcissists in their everyday lives and thereby know how to avoid. Throughout their experiments, the researchers claimed that distinctive eyebrows reveal narcissist personality to others, providing a basic understanding of the mechanism through which people can identify narcissistic personality traits within the personal or potential application to a daily life.
You cannot just identify a personality disorder by someone's eyebrows.
I don't know. I mean, go through some of those, like, really narcissistic university professors, and they usually have like the biggest, bushiest caterpillar eyebrows in the world.
Is it just they have to be thick and bushy, or can they be like high and
I think they
unusual?
Can also be like unusually cut too. And 2014, a group of four researchers from the Detroit Medical Center in Michigan discovered that sometimes old treatments are just exactly what the doctor ordered. For those who suffer from serious, reoccurring nosebleeds, all manners of remedies have been tested over the years, mainly in the form of packing the nose with different materials.
Packing the nose?
Yeah, it's normal. You people that have really reoccurring nosebleeds, they'll shove whatever tampon type of material up there, keep it from bleeding.
Uh-huh. Like walk around all day with it up there?
But in one particular case, the four researchers decided to try an old wives' tale. And it worked. A patient's serious nosebleed disorder was treated like this. Cured salted pork, crafted as a nasal tampon and packed with nasal vaults, packed within the nasal vaults, successfully stopped nasal hemorrhage promptly, effectively, and with no other issues.
A what?
A cured salted pork, crafted as a nasal tampon. So instead of shoving like tampon,
cured salted pork
immediately stopped the nosebleed.
You like a ham? A little piece of ham carved into a little cone shape.
Into a tampon shape, jammed up your nose, and you stop immediately stop nosebleed. I mean, it theoretically makes sense when you have salted meat that was going to the amount of saline and salt on it would maybe quickly stop the hemorrhaging.
Well, could it be maybe like salami? Or does it have to be straight up pork?
They've not really got into it, so I'll have to do further research.
You're running around holding your nose, oh, I need some unstopped cured pork. Where is it?
So jam some ham up there. Get me some prosciutto, really.
You run into the Publix and ask the guy behind the counter, I just need one slice of the saltiest ham you got. Thank you.
You've heard of the wombat, right?
Yeah. Cute little fella.
Yep, but they have the world's most mysterious poop.
Poo?
Poop, yep.
It's square, isn't it?
It is, yes.
How does that happen?
Well, some researchers decided to do that.
Well, that's some worthy research there.
The bare-nosed wombats are a chubby, cuddly-looking marsupial that are an endemic to Australia. They're actually quite, they get into stuff all the time. Their closest living relative is the koala, which they share their herbivorous diet. Unlike the koalas, though, they have cube-shaped poop. In fact, wombats are the only known animals to have said unusual dung. And in 2019, a group of seven researchers came together to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, get it?
Wombats have previously fallen victim to South Australian drivers were collected and dissected by the team who examined them. So a little wombat roadkill. It was established that wombats actually have circular bottoms, not square, and that the molding actually takes place inside the intestines. Some part of the intestine turned out to be firm, while other sections were soft. So basically, wombats have the Play-Doh... Remember you... the kids' toy where you get the extractor. Yep, that's basically how their intestines are.
It's square.
It's stiff and then like soft. So it squeezes through the extractor, then it goes to the soft area, expands a little bit, then it squeezes through the extractor again, and it gets into that sweet cube shape. this combined with the way the insides contract during digestion was what turned out to produce the poop that had previously been a mystery to us all.
Glad we solved that.
They do believe they figured out why, too, is because... they are very territorial, and the fact is that a round poop, you could just roll away with the wind, and a square poop is going to be harder to move around. So,
really?
Or more likely that the poop will just be there.
I thought you were going to say, like, some other animal might come out and see square poop and go, what the hell? Let's get out of here.
Beards.
Beards.
Mm-hmm. They've been part of science experiments forever.
Beards?
2021, Ethan Besseris, Stephen Nalloway, and David Carrier completed their research into the topic about the fact if a beard helped you take abuse, like punching.
Oh, if it would cushion a blow?
Mm-hmm. And they won an Ig Nobel Peace Prize as a result. Instead of having volunteers struck in the face for science, prosthetic bones were created for the experiment and covered in sheepskin. Some of the samples had wool intact, while some had been shorn. They were then struck and the pressure was measured. The results did indeed show that the hair absorbs a significant amount of blunt force. Some researchers have hypothesized that, like male lions, human males may have developed longer hair around the neck and jaws to protect the delicate areas from attack.
Interesting. It's got to be a big bushy,
even just a little bit is going to, you're not taking direct skin-to-skin contact.
Right. Is that why more men are wearing beards?
Well, that's more a lot of hipsters think that they're like pretend lumberjacks in their flannel and beard and why they drink $10 coffees.
And really bitter IPAs.
Oh, yeah. But they're the best ones they've ever had before. 2016, a small team of researchers from Germany, Turkey, and the UK. That's the world working together.
Yep.
Work together to discover whether sexual orgasms can compete with decongestants when it comes to clearing the airways.
Wait, what?
When you have an orgasm, does it do better to clear your sinuses than using decongestants? The group stated that there is a physiological connection between the nose and the genitals that has been long proposed. Didn't know about that. But one of the men who once delved in the area of research was an ear, nose, and throat doctor and a close friend of one Sigmund Freud. So,
all right. Yeah.
Instead of the Steering-Floridian link, however, the relation between sex and clearing a blocked nose actually may be down to a combination of physical exercise along with the hormonal changes that occur during intercourse. Both these things have previously shown to have decongestant properties. Either way, the results were clear. Sexual climax can improve nasal breathing to the same degree as nasal decongestant for up to 60 minutes with those with a blocked nose. So, you having a little trouble getting...
You just go to rub one out and then you're clear as a bell.
Yep.
I...
Instead of just taking inserting nasal spray up there.
I need to test that theory. I don't know. And it works. What you're telling me.
They won an award for it.
How do you sign up for that? Now, listen. We need people that are congested nasally and can orgasm easily.
That's why they had to go with Germany, Turkey, and the UK to find that.
Oh, boy. By the way, the prosecution in the Stormy Daniels thing is no longer calling Karen McDougal as a witness.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Why would they put Stormy Daniels on there but not Karen McDougal?
Because I think Karen McDougal doesn't have a dirty story to tell.
Yeah, but hers is the more believable of the two.
Right. I don't know. I don't know if Michael Cohen's got to testify.
Oh, I hope so.
Me too. When we return, if you've got a company and you've got some DEI goals, and after a certain amount of time, you got too many white guys around, what do you do?
Just too many white guys hanging around.
Yeah, I'll tell you about one company that just decided one day they had too many white men employed, exactly 21 too many white men, to which they all got their walking papers. Stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show.
Florida Man Radio.
My veins are blue. Hey, don't forget, the Anna Jarna Levine accident attorney's cash grab begins Monday morning at 8:20. Listen to Bubba the Love Sponge at 8:20. He'll give you the time to listen for the cash grab, either during Don's show or mine. When you hear the keyword, text it into 321-339-1055. A Central Florida winner takes home $250, courtesy of Anna Jarna Levine, accident attorneys. Every weekday, somebody here in the Orlando market will win $250. Not a national contest with, 900 stations in it. So that should be good. Like everything on the internet, eventually the innovations all go to porn.
Yes. I think that should be like one of the rules of innovation.
One of the rules that you've got to find some way to work it into porn.
I just think it is one of the, like, it's the set in stone rules of innovation. Anytime something is invented, it's about three or four steps away from porn.
Well, if it's internet-wise, yeah. But, goggles, the 3D, the...
Look at all innovation, though. The telephone? It was only a few steps away from the sex hotlines.
Yeah.
The iPhone? We know where that went to.
Absolutely. Like it was
computers,
built for it. iPads.
The movies, the moving pictures.
We do. We turn everything into porn. The company behind ChatGPT OpenAI is exploring whether users should be allowed to create artificial intelligence-generated pornography and other explicit content with its products. Some people say it undermines the mission of AI.
What's the mission of AI?
I have no idea. using their image generator, DALL-E, they revealed it's considering letting developers use and responsibly create what it is termed not safe for work content. It could include erotica, extreme gore, or unsolicited profanities. They're exploring whether we can responsibly provide the ability to generate not safe for work content in an age-appropriate context. We look forward to better understanding and user and societal expectations of model behavior. But they have to make sure that it doesn't violate anyone's rights, right, or law. I mean, you can't use it to create child porn.
No.
Or would you? Could you?
I mean, you. No, it would. I would assume ChatGPT would block that.
You certainly aren't going to be able to make revenge porn out of using someone's face.
No, it would have to be
a randomly generated
person, which they have. I think we talked about it earlier, but there's a AI adult awards contest. Like literally, it was an awards for the best of these digital girlfriend experience ones they do.
They say we want to ensure that people have maximum control to the extent that it doesn't violate the law or other people's rights, but enabling deepfakes is out of the question. This doesn't mean that we are trying now to create AI porn. However, she said that whether the output was considered pornography depends on your definition. These are the exact conversations we want to have. She did say that, look, there are creative cases in which content that involves sexuality or nudity is important to our users. They talk about erotica or works of art that describe sexual activity that are intended to arouse sexual feelings. Of course, the people in real porn are not going to like this at all.
Well, I mean, it's really going to take away from some of those in-depth porn scripts that they've been doing. I mean, I think the AI can figure out the plumber and the pizza guy stories.
Yeah. Internet Watch Foundation, a charity derived to protect kids from sexual abuse online, warns that pedophiles are going to use this to create images of children, including versions of the tech that are freely available online. One peer and campaigner for child safety, Mr. Kidron, accused OpenAI of rapidly undermining their own mission. OpenAI's charter refers to developing artificial intelligence, general intelligence, AI systems that can outperform humans, and an array of tasks that are safe and beneficial. It's endlessly disappointing, he says, that the tech sector entertains himself with commercial issues like AI erotica rather than taking practical steps and corporate responsibility for the harms they can create. Get out of the way. It's porn. OpenAI rules for companies that use this technology to build their own AI tools. Sexually explicit or suggestive content is prohibited right now. Although there's an exception for scientific or educational material, the discussion document refers to discussing sex and reproductive organs in a scientific manner, such as, quote, what happens when a penis goes in a vagina.
I'd like to see a robot describe that.
I mean, OpenAI might not do it, but some AI company is going to do it. So, you know, it may not be ChatGPT, but you knew this was going to be used for...
Well, that's why ChatGPT is getting into it now, because they're losing money by their AI not having this, because another AI will.
Hmm. Okay. It's going to go there anyway, right, at some point? There is a software company called Red Hat. It's one of IBM's spinoffs. The former sales chief for Red Hat is suing. He was fired along with 20 other white men during the software subsidiary's aggressive diversity push to hire more women and African Americans. Alan Wood, a white man, says he faced race and gender discrimination because of the company's diversity, equity, and inclusion scheme that set the hiring targets for women and minorities. America First Legal, headed up by Stephen Miller, former Trump administration member. Miller's conservative action group highlights a leaked video recording in 2021 where IBM CEO Arvind Krishna vowed to punish executives that failed to meet the DEI hiring quotas. Miller says Americans were shocked and horrified to learn about illegal race-based discrimination at IBM. We are taking action on behalf of a courageous plaintiff against his former employer, filing a lawsuit in federal court to get justice for our client and to stop this flagrantly lawless and bigoted conduct. This guy worked there for 8 years. A 37-page lawsuit filed in Idaho. They hired a DEI czar in 2021 when BLM was going buck nutty and introduced quotas aiming to remake the workforce demographics, seeking to reach 30% women, 30% of our associates of color by 2028.
The best way to do that, fire all the white guys.
I mean, that's it. I mean, you know, you call them, hey, we hadn't reached our, you know, we want to reach it by Thursday. That's, you know, okay, well, these pick 21 white dudes and let's fire them. This guy made it clear he opposed DEI based on his religious and political views. He advocated for hiring on merit and skill rather than other immutable characteristics. 2 weeks later, he was told his job was being axed along with 21 other staffers. All but one of the employees being culled were white men. He believes he's retaliated against for his beliefs. The group cites a video. CEO Krishna of Red Hat, Paul Cormier discussing diversity. Krishna says the video that corporate executives' bonuses can be affected if they don't meet their DEI goals. A whistleblower leaked the video to James O'Keefe. The complaints against Red Hat are part of a growing number of suits against filings of DEI practices since the Supreme Court's landmark 2023 to end affirmative action. Lawsuits claim that hiring and recruitment decisions made around both jobs and fellowships are at large companies are biased against white workers. I mean, if you set a quota to have less white workers, yeah. I don't really know why people don't really recognize how absolutely racist it is.
Well, they needed more diversity in there, and they were doing so great.
Well, there are 21 guys heavy in the white guy department. Somebody has really found a I don't know what you call it, a gimmick to make a lot of money. You've been to a one of these places. There was one in Orlando where you can go, and for a fee, you got to put on safety gear, some safety goggles, gloves, and then you go in and you're provided with a baseball bat and a sledgehammer, and then you're provided with random items you could just wreck. A TV set.
Yeah.
Stack of dishes. It
glass,
feels great.
Yeah.
All
fun stuff.
Well, one lady, Mia Banducci, the self-described spiritual fairy godmother, known online as Mia Magic.
She gave herself that name.
Spiritual fairy godmother? It's nice of her. She started doing a retreat to Scotland. A woman by the name of Kimberly Helmus went with Mia Banducci. As part of the retreat, Banducci had a rage ritual, which was a ceremony where participants scream and beat large sticks on the ground in the woods. Participants are encouraged to think of people and experiences that have wronged them and to scream as loud as they can and swing sticks for 20 minutes or until they can no longer move their arms. Rage rituals like this have garnered tons of attention on TikTok. They resonate particularly with women. In the comments, women describe how moving it is to see other women embody their anger and emotion. Experts say society often discourages women from expressing their anger.
Imagine how confused you'd be. You just went on a nice little hike. You come walking up, and there was 20 women just yelling and beating sticks on the ground.
Just hitting the ground?
Or against trees or swinging until their arms are sore.
Banducci says there's no place where you can go and see, where you can see women be able to be angry like that and it not be condemned. People say, oh, she's hormonal. Oh, she's unhinged. Oh, she's crazy. Oh, she's just on her period. This is the place where you were probably for the first time in a really, really long time ever able to scream out loud about things, about how you felt.
That's such a bogus statement to say, where she's, well, women just can't. If you saw 10 dudes out there in the woods screaming, smacking trees and with sticks until their arms are sore, you're going to be a little scared of that, too. That's not something a normal guy can just wander through there and
do. Right. Well, she believes that, what she's assuming or insinuating is that for some reason it's okay in a public place for men to throw a fit like that, to scream and yell and beat something on the ground. But yeah, women are condemned. Yeah, men are condemned, too. They've led rage rituals. This lady's been doing it for several years. She does it for her friends. And now eventually is a part of her days-long retreats, which include other activities, and can range in price from around $2,000 to $4,000. The one-day version, which I guess is you go out in the woods, I don't know, eat a rabbit or something, and then do the rage session, is $222 per ticket. First, the participants would gather large sticks while conjuring to mind every person that's ever crossed them, who's ever hurt them, who's ever ignored their boundaries or taken advantage of them or abused them in any way. And after a few warm-up breaths, the screaming and swinging of sticks begins. She's not the only one that leads events dealing with rage. Secret Sanctuary will host a sacred rage ceremony in Alberta, Canada in July. The author Jessica Ricchetti, self-proclaimed mystic, will host the sacred rage. When people do this, they give themselves permission to release their anger, their capacity for joy actually expands. You got to push out the anger, Eric. Then you got room for joy.
And add the joy, yeah.
They're able to feel more happiness and pleasure, and they go home to their families with more gratitude and ease and peace. Unexpected feelings can also arise. Miss Helmus, for instance, thought her first rage ritual would address anger she felt toward her ex-husband. Instead, she felt something much deeper, a grief she had been holding on to since witnessing the death of a friend when she was 17.
How did she come across that, where she's angry at her ex-husband beating that stick, and then she's like, oh, my God,
my Maria friend died. I don't know. A psychotherapist named Stephanie Sarkis says people deal with anger in a variety of ways. There's not a one-size-fits-all solution for rage. For some, rage is better handled with activating strategies like hitting a punching bag or doing an intense workout. For others, things like deep breaths or slow walks or calm music work better. It's important to know your best process for anger before undergoing a rage ritual. Ask your doctor if a rage ritual is right for you. When you do something like that, they said it's important to know, does it exacerbate your anger or does it decrease it? That's something that's an individual basis. She's not against it. She said if it works for you, you release some anger, you can afford it, and they're done safely, there's no harm in them. One lady was particularly disturbed when she said she was doing her raging, and then she had an immediate visceral reaction and cried. She cried and cried and said, a row of middle-aged women with even more rage, I need this. Why don't you just beat your kids? Like, take it out like other women.
Like a good 1940s housewife.
Like the good old days. I mean, I don't know what else is in this retreat, but I'm not paying $200 to go out in the middle of the woods and beat a stick around a scream.
What is it with $4,000 for that?
Remember there was some event, I forget exactly where it was, but there was, I think it was Manhattan. The women were just completely naked and of all sizes and shapes, and at the same time they all started going, just screaming bloody murder. You remember seeing this video? It was viral.
Because for some reason they've been told that you just got to yell out all that anger. You don't get to voice your anger enough.
What are you kidding me? I'm wondering if this could spark a rage issue.
I just always laugh because it is that person will say, "Oh well, you know, these women were grabbing their empowerment again by being naked and yelling out in the street, and you know, that's something they just couldn't do if they were a man." If there was a group of 20 dudes butt ass naked in the streets yelling, people would be freaking out
and calling the police. Yeah. A bunch of angry dudes with their dongs out on the main street. I've never heard of a rage ritual. But I do remember when I used to get mad at my mother, I would take a couple of B&B cups, platters, little saucers, and I'd go out in the backyard and throw them against the brick of the garage door. Then I'd clean them up so that my mom wouldn't see that I've broken a couple of her plates. I don't know. That's a lot of money. Why don't you just go see a therapist?
Why do you need to go
see a therapist? Is cheaper than that.
Why do you need $222? Wander off into the woods and beat a stick against the wall.
Well, I don't know. You're not trained. Do you know how to do the warm-up ritual? You don't take a couple of deep breaths and get your mind together about your ex-husband who is a real asshole?
I think you can probably figure it out. You don't need a Mystic Meg there to help you out.
Do you think every woman has a rage, something to rage at?
Everybody has something to rage about.
I bet Heather doesn't have anything to rage about. Do you rage about anything, Heather? Do you have any anger?
Oh, she paused, so yes.
Probably.
Yeah.
Oh, had one today.
What'd you rage at?
Well, I mean, just a caller.
Oh. Yeah, our customer service department. Yeah.
That's what we need in this building. We've got a little nature area right here.
Look, someone's been raging in this forest already.
Some sticks.
Got a tree almost tump over here. We could definitely do a rager right here.
Oh, I can bet you. Well, I'm going to start putting up flyers around the building. I get some of these people in the build to work in the building here. Yeah,
come down for lunchtime raging.
Yeah, lunchtime rager. Got 30 people wearing T-Mobile shirts out here beating against a tree.
Speaking of AI, there are AI ethicists out there. Did you know this?
Oh, yeah.
And there's a story about, we've heard of these three. You could put your life on a hologram or something, and your thoughts, and it'll be your voice, and they call it a dead bot. So maybe after grandma passes away, you could go to her on your tabletop granny cube on your desk and go, boop, turn her on and go, "Grandma, I really need to know how to ask my boss for a raise."
"Well, let me tell you."
You know, she goes back into some story.
Back in my day.
Well, some people believe that these could cause psychological harm and digitally haunt a person. They're on the cusp of reality, urgently need regulation, these dead bots. They've warned that they could do great harm. They're already technically possible to create a legally permissible. It could let users upload their conversations with dead relatives to bring grandma back to life in a form of a chat bot. They may be marketed to parents that have terminal diseases. They want to keep something around for their kids to interact with, or simply sold to healthy people who want to catalog their entire life and create an interactive legacy for later on. Rapid advancements in generative AI mean that nearly anybody with the internet and some basic know-how can revive a deceased loved one. They say it's a minefield. We need to prioritize the dignity of the deceased and ensure that this isn't encroached on by financial motives. And of course, it's going to
No, there's going to be crazy companies, but there also is a loss in people need to go through the grieving process and to be able to let go of that person. And if you have a box on your desk, there is never a loss to the point where you're being haunted by your parent or grandparent that's sitting on your desk at all times. Because it's not them. It's only a certain program, pre-programmed amount of information they can get in there. So at some point, you're asking life's tough questions to a magic eight ball that looks like your grandma.
One risk is companies that monetize their digital legacy services through advertising. Users of such a service may receive a shock when their digitally related loved one begins suggesting to order takeaway rather than cooking from scratch. They're afraid your grandmother's gonna, Grandma, I got an important question. I'm gonna, well, I'd get me some Smucker's jam if I were you.
Why don't you try the new big pizza from Pizza Hut? More pepperoni than there used to be back when I was young.
Why don't you, I think you should order a shakaroni, Sonny. Only $9.99 right now.
Would you like me to call him for you?
Yeah, I'll put the order. You want to put that on your visa, Sonny?
Yeah, Grandma, order me a shakaroni.
Oh, man. All right, when we return, our buddy the Kimmer and Pete will join us from sunny Atlanta. See if we can get Kimmer fired up. Stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show. A former New Orleans Saints defensive end, Junior Gallette, has got some traffic fines to pay. He's amassed quite a few. These are traffic camera tickets, which I'm with Junior. That's unconstitutional as hell. I don't know why they're allowed anywhere. I'm fighting one right now. Waiting on my court date. Mine was only a fine like $115.
It's the principle, though.
It is the principle. He's racked up $22,000 in traffic cam tickets. One news station there did a little bit of investigating, and they found out that the city of New Orleans is owed currently a total of $135 million in traffic camera citations. That's a total of 994,323 collectible tickets dating back to 2010. The main way the city tries to hold those who don't pay the traffic camera tickets is booting vehicles. But there's not much beyond that the city is doing to collect fines. My thing threatens to suspend my driver's license. How can it be possible that it's a random company that owns the traffic cameras and they process them all and they send out the late notice, they send out the this notice, they send out the original notice and the photograph, and then if you don't pay them, then they somehow the city on their behalf suspends your license.
Yeah, it's a racket.
Gallette has received at least 113 tickets, $22,395.
I mean, you have to try hard to do that. 113 traffic tickets. You're deliberately running red lights.
Or making a right on a red, which is my case, even though it could be done completely safely, you have to come to an absolute complete stop before there's a sign there that says stop on red. Yeah. That's all it says. It doesn't say stop on red and then go when it just says stop. I mean, a lot of idiots get up there, they stop and they stay stopped until the light turns green. Meanwhile, behind you, now I got a ticket at it 4-5 years ago when I started here because it became a part of my commute. I realized, oh, I better stop. That's what that means. So from then until I got the ticket, I would go up and even if it's completely safe, like it's a turn lane coming from the right, going to my left and, I will come to a complete stop of the motorcycle, tap my foot on the ground so you could see that I'm a complete stop. And people behind me will honk like, hey, what are you waiting for? I'm like, dude,
I've got enough ticket.
I've got enough. I learned my lesson. But at the heart of it, aren't you supposed to? I mean, they always say that if the cop doesn't show, you get off on it. Nobody can show here. Nobody.
But you say that now until 2 years from now and a large AI robot comes prouncing through the
Guilty. They're just revenue machines.
They are. And because most people are not going to fight it. And there are, I know there's a bunch of so many here, other states, so that really heavy red light cameras, there's lawyers, that's all they do. They just do red light camera ones all day long.
How do they beat them?
they do whatever. They advertise like crazy. That's what they do. Says, send us $60 and we'll get rid of your red light camera citation.
Without
and,
paying a fine?
I guess. My understanding, yeah. They make big business off of that.
And I think the fine doubles if you don't pay it on time. It's a racket. That's the only one I know of in town.
What, that camera?
Yeah, the one I get popped by the Fletcher Steakhouse.
I know one that I've gotten hit with it before. It's off on Silver Star.
Man.
And that one I had stopped and completely to enough that, but I guess I rolled my tires just enough that I didn't come to a complete and total stop. And they hit me for that.
Unbelievable. That whole thing is BS
and
anyway.
And the only reason I didn't come to a complete and total stop is because I had to roll forward enough to see past the car that was over the white line
right.
to my left so I could see if there were any cars coming.
Yeah.
It was safe to go.
Wow. I'm ready. I've got my my defense prepared. I'll stretch the truth just a little bit.
You just have to tell them you don't believe in any AI or robotic overlord. So,
I mean, it would it be if I went in front of a judge and said, "Judge, you know as well as I do, this camera's unconstitutional. Why are you allowing it?"
I mean, you could try argue your case.
That's not my only argument. Yeah. That's not my argument was that there was an emergency vehicle one car behind me, and I wanted to get out of the way, you know. But in reality, I should be able to go there and go. Would you pay it, Your Honor?
And also, you made a safe turn. You didn't cause an accident. There was no person that had to slam on their brakes because you made an illegal maneuver.
Yeah. I'm going to let it out. I'm not going to be I'm going to be completely respectful to the judge, but I'm just going to say, hey, you know, it's unconstitutional as I do. I can't face my accuser. No, there was no other witness than a camera. I know you say people say, oh, it's accurate. It doesn't make mistakes. It's got a photograph, blah, blah, blah. But you're out of order. This whole court's out of order.
Bang the gavel.
I can't face my. That's that's the basic concept of getting justice. It's to face the person or persons or group or whatever or the state accusing you of something. Right?
I mean, that's what it should be. Yeah, because it can't be any proof other than the fact that they took a picture, but they don't know the situations around the entire.
Don Miller. No, it's not on Silver Star. It's on Lee, you know, Fletcher's Steakhouse, Lee in Orlando.
The one I've been has been on Silver Star.
Oh, that's
the
one you can bust it at?
Silver Star and McMahon, or it starts with an M, I think, was the other street. Are they ready to go?
Yeah.
Right, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen. Wait, hold on. We have an intro. Yeah. Hold on. Listen to this, fellas.
Let's do it this way.
A former Marine. TV journalist and motivational speaker. Let's see if we can get him fired up. It's the Kemmer.
I'm not even sure you were a motivational speaker. No, I had him fly that in there.
No, I am hardly a motivational. I am the worst speaker in the history of the world. I swear to God, I still wake up sometime once in a while at 2 o'clock in the morning, shaking and crying over my horrible performance at the Cobb County Veterans Veterans Day when they made me an honorary guy for the Cobb County Veterans Ceremony, and I totally freaked out. I blew it totally. My mind went blank. It was horrible. And the worst thing about it was the host was a guy named Moby. You may know the name Moby, the former disc jockey, very famous around here. Yeah. He's the best MC in the world. He was smooth. He had stories. He had the crowd. And then I show up and go and just like an idiot. Oh, God, I will never speak again.
I bet everybody in that room was like, isn't this guy a professional radio broadcaster?
Yeah, I guarantee there was not exactly a standing ovation, let me say.
They disbanded the organization after that.
Oh, people were robbing. Yeah, they're saying, all kinds of horrible things. That was terrible.
Hello, Pete. Hello, Flounder. Hello, Kimmer.
How are you doing? What's going on with you guys down in Florida?
How's it going? I don't know.
Did you get a storm? We got a huge storm right through. Did you get part of it or not?
No.
We might have missed you.
It missed us all together.
Yeah,
it's hot, and dry here.
Yeah, just 100 degrees here.
Yeah, 100 degrees.
Hot and dry. That's unusual.
A little bit of humidity, but no. We haven't had any speakable rainfall in a long time.
Well, one of my final last memories before I left my place down in Palm Beach Gardens was in the summertime when, like every afternoon, all of a sudden the winds come up around 80 miles an hour and the rain comes in. You wash your car right off the highway. I mean, just almost every day was a horrible storm. And literally, there were times when my car was moving on the on I-95 or whatever it was. Just an incredible
story. Well.
Anyway.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that withholding congressionally appropriated aid was an impeachable offense.
Well,
in the past,
guess what?
Is it something changed? What
guess
happened?
What? Just now breaking on Fox News, Corey Mills from your state of Florida, and my former state, is preparing impeachment articles against President crime family over his threat to halt offensive aid to Israel.
They set the precedent.
Exactly. Well, hell, they did it to Donald Trump because he made a letter and said, hey, by the way, you better. And by the way, Biden, as vice president, bragged about how he got the investigator off his son's case in Ukraine. Oh, my God, for the energy company. And so now they're accusing Biden of forcing Israel into a quid pro quo, leveraging American dollars against the Israeli government's actions in Gaza. All parallels to the Democrats' first impeachment of Donald Trump over his handling of aid to Ukraine. The House has no choice but to impeach the president, white trash, and as vice president caught threatening withhold funding to aid. I mean, the whole thing's out. And it's exactly what they should be doing. And, of course, it's not going to make any difference because of Georgia and the two liberal socialist senators. If it even goes to the Senate for an impeachment trial, they're going to not going to.
But then the hypocrisy is laid out for all to see, the world to see that Donald Trump, they've been trying to get Trump for so long. And this is just absolute in your face, bold, naked hypocrisy.
Yeah, we need to impeach everybody we can when Republicans get back in control. We need to impeach everybody we can so that when historians look back, they're going to say, "Oh, that Donald Trump thing—they did that twice. Hell, that's nothing." Now, all those guys were going nuts about impeachment to make it a mockery because it has become a mockery because of the Democrat one-party country system going after their political opponent. The impeachment, and of course, obviously, and even Clinton wasn't convicted, so I mean the whole process has just been it's become a mockery, and we need to impeach everybody. So it's just totally a laughingstock. The whole idea is ridiculous.
I mean, this is really, amazing that he would even announce that he's withholding something that's already been appropriated, and he agreed to it because he desperately needed to send his pal Zelensky $61 billion, and and this aid went along with it.
Yeah, but I mean the balls on this guy. I mean, holy crap! Where does he get the freaking nerve to even say, "Well, we're not going to support you"? Yeah,
Michigan.
He's afraid of the squad. Yep. He's afraid of losing the votes in Michigan and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and
Michigan. Michigan on this one.
Yeah, and he's afraid of the squad.
Yeah,
I did a whole thing earlier, Shannon. I can't believe that Jewish people would vote for a Democrat. How is all those protesters? Are Democrats.
Self-loathing.
All of them.
Self-loathing Jews.
How come now? I mean, maybe, 50 years ago, when they were raised and they were discriminated against and people made fun of them when they had Hanukkah instead of Christmas or something, and they took it out on the kids in school who maybe were conservative. I don't know. But something happened. How could you possibly vote for a Democrat if you're Jewish? I mean, seriously, you believe in the Democrat program we're going through right now? You believe in the 9-month abortion rules? Do you believe in having little boys play girl sports and big boys play big girl sports and taking showers in their bathrooms? That's the Democrat. That's allowed under Democrats now.
That is their program.
Progressive Jewish.
Yeah,
they do. They do agree if they're progressive Jews.
I guess so. So here we go. I can't. I don't understand. You're not doing the right thing for your country.
No.
Anyway.
It is incredible. Absolutely. Follow the Stormy Daniels trial and all the Paolo.
And again, this is he got Donald Trump again tried to. I'm sorry, appeal the gag order and ask for a mistrial. He was denied on both things. But again, this is all going to be overthrown. There's no way. Every legal expert you can listen to, even the ones on CNN and MSNBC, are saying this went way too far. This was, they only put her on the stand to embarrass Donald Trump, to bring up sleazy stuff. It was just porn all over the place so that even if he is not convicted, they're going to think, oh, that Donald Trump is such a scumbag again, just like they started when they came down the freaking escalator.
later. And it's just more political.
Meanwhile, Cohen gets to go on TikTok wearing a T-shirt of Trump, an image of him in a orange jumpsuit behind orange bars, and rail about it. And they the prosecution argued that a gag order against him would be unconstitutional, but not against Trump. You know.
Yeah, that's right. And Trump again appealed and got rejected.
Hell, the judge warned his attorney that he shouldn't shake his head anymore in court because that's contemptuous. You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, it's all going to get overthrown. I mean, there's no way this judge is... go ahead.
The attorney is, thank goodness, poking holes in her, so...
She's getting poked pretty good there. Oh, the testimony, of course. Hey-ho!
I think her cross-examination has been very, very, very tough. She's, making a lot of money. The woman, she sells candles that say the patron saint of indictments for $40 a pop. She gets $7 a candle. I mean, her whole income has been based around this trial of this allegation, and they want it to continue.
Well, and they also kept bringing up the fact that she can't wait for Donald Trump to go to jail. She'll do anything she can to put him in jail. I mean, she hates his guts. She's not going to pay a dime of the money she owes him, defying a federal court order. Oh, really? So you're telling the federal judge to go to hell? How do you think we should feel about your testimony? I mean, the whole thing is just preposterous.
Yeah. It's something else. Have you read? I'm sure you read the list of demands the illegal aliens in Denver.
We want to take showers anytime we want for as long as we want. Yeah. How about some food, man? We don't just crap you're feeding us. It's nonsense.
I mean, the nerve. We want some. Yeah. You're here by our good graces, and you've got a grocery list of stuff for us to bring for you to cook tonight.
Yeah. After doing what you're doing illegally. Yeah.
Look,
I know.
We made these people into the monsters that they are. Because we gave them everything. We started telling them when they were still working at the tortilla factory in Honduras that they got to get out of here. Here's some money to travel. Here's some new shoes for you and Pepe. And here's a blanket. And you guys go on this road. Here's a bus ticket to get you here. And they're going to give you everything. And lo and behold, they got here and it was the land of milk and honey. We got a debit card. We got a phone. We got to go to the city of our choice. It's just been wonderful.
And now they deserve medical professional visits regularly, referrals and connections for specialty care, connection to employment support and work permit applications, as well as consultations for every person and every family with a free immigration lawyer.
They want us to pick up the tab for their lawyer.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the balls on these people, honest to God. It's just Denver. They'll get away with it. Denver's going to cave. They already cut the police budget to help the immigrants,
right?
The illegal sneak-ins. They'll get what they want.
You think they're going to? I mean, they're living I don't even think they can cook in the places that they would be housed.
They're living in parks. They're in public parks. They're all over the place.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. My family's there.
They need chicken spices and flour and oil and garlic and onions. Come on.
Yeah, we don't want these K rations, man.
I think we should give them like El Paso frozen dinners. Look here, let's clip out. Good we can do. This is culturally appropriate, isn't it?
Well, the taco people, Dr. Jill, the doctor. For you.
Knock yourself out.
Yeah, have a ball.
Well, do you see Emerson College and was it Emerson? In Boston, 118 kids got arrested. The president of Emerson said, they said, look, we want you guys to take down the encampments between two buildings. Emerson's in downtown Boston. There's risks of fire and safety. They did, and they said, please don't arrest them, anybody. We just make it. Just get rid of it. They went in, and these little cretins resisted.
Jew haters.
And 118 of them or 128 got arrested. And Emerson said, oh, no, we didn't want you to arrest our little angels. And the president handed a bunch of cash to a bunch of staff members and said, go to each precinct and bail them all out.
You know, that's Boston, and Emerson University was a well-known broadcasting, like radio communications kind of a school, well-known for many years. But again, here we go. I mean, they're afraid to stand up to Jew haters.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, how could you not want? And again, if you're a protester and you get away with it with no consequences, then you're just a spoiled brat who, you got what you wanted.
The president is also urging the DA in the area to not press charges.
Yeah. Well, that University of Georgia has like 150 professors who also said the same thing. Let them go. No charges, no grade problems. And if you don't erase these records, we're not going to give out any grades. I mean, the whole system is nuts.
Yeah, it is. And now we know how we got here. It's our educational system. You got a fourth grade teacher in Fort Worth, Texas, who was told that she needed to balance out the Holocaust history books in her class with a, quote, opposing view.
Yeah.
I mean,
opposing to the, excuse me again, ma'am?
Yeah, that's what she said. Opposing view? How can you have an opposing view to the Holocaust? So bringing the Nazi point of view? Yeah, the issues were really bad. We had to get rid of them.
Kind of an unusual debate team. You know? Well, sure. These rumors.
Today's guest speaker, Herman Goering.
Yes. That's one speaker they would not block on campus
Lord. And then that North Carolina kid in the school system got suspended for using the term illegal alien.
Yes.
And now his family's got to sue for him.
Good.
And then there's a court in California Catholic school. The two kids, teenagers, were seen on social media with what they called blackface.
Yes.
Even though it was medication for their acne. It was dark green acne medication. And they got doxed all to hell. And everybody creamed them. And they've just been awarded $1 million for what happened to them because they were doxed in social media saying blackface. And I mean, good Lord.
Yeah.
It's just incredible.
It's you know, I don't know. Every day you think you can't be shocked by some moronic woke BS, but there it is. Hey, you got any experience with red light cameras?
I have friends who have, and sometimes they're incorrect, and sometimes they're wrong when they're not supposed to be, when the school system operating is over, stuff like that. Yeah, there's been a nightmare. But they're making a lot of money, and the cities are making a fortune, boy.
I got my driver's license was suspended last year. I didn't even know it was suspended because it was in Canton, and they mailed my tickets to the wrong place.
And short story short, you also got pulled over by a state copper who, thank God, didn't look up your record, or you'd have been in jail and your car towed.
Ooh.
Yeah, he let me go without looking up my driver's license. If he had, he would have arrested me and taken my car in, and I would have no clue what was going on.
Whoa. He never knew he got the red light.
I'm going to fight it. A, it's unconstitutional. I can't face my accuser. Has this thing been calibrated? What's going on here?
That never works.
Well, I got a backup plan.
Sovereign citizen.
You don't know your own laws. I'm not a driver. I'm a traveler.
was it going too fast or red light or what?
No, it's a red light camera at an intersection. I got one there years ago when I started working here, and I learned my lesson. You come to, even if it's red and it's safe to go, you got to come to a complete stop then go. I rolled it once. I paid the ticket. I rolled it again months ago, but I have a plan. And there was an emergency vehicle, one car behind me with its lights.
Out of the way.
I was trying to be a safe
citizen. Well, then you're set.
I'm going to use this opportunity to tell this judge a piece of my mind.
Absolutely. I say go for it.
I'm going to say, judges, do you believe it's constitutional?
Yeah. Threaten the bastard. That's what I say.
And I'm going to say, you're out of order.
Yeah, you're the one. I'm out of order.
I know where you live.
tell him you're going live on Facebook. Hold your phone up to the court. Hell yeah. Screw you, copper.
Well, there's one former... the New Orleans Saints, Junior Gallet, who currently owes the city of New Orleans $22,395 for his red light, 113 tickets that he hasn't paid.
That seems a little excessive. That he has gotten
100.
Currently, he's not in jail.
The city of New Orleans is currently owed $135 million in traffic sites for 994,000 tickets, and the most they can do is just. They don't suspend your license there. They boot your car.
Yeah, it's a crap hole city. The first time I visited New Orleans, the only good thing came out of New Orleans was my daughter, Sarah. But when my first visit to New Orleans, when I was being hired out of Atlanta, the guy hired me to go fly me down to New Orleans. He said, we had an interview, and they said, well, take a walk around the French Quarter, enjoy yourself, and come back in an hour, and we'll have a little conversation. So I did. Walking through the French Quarter, first time I ever saw it, I turned around a corner, and there were two cops beating the crap out of a homeless guy. who gave
shooting some crap or something, and they're wailing away on him.
Welcome to New Orleans.
And I walk by and say, hey, officers, how's it going? And I turn right around.
Keep moving. Keep moving.
Beat it.
Yeah.
Oh, my
so,
Lord.
So there you go.
Guys, it's good to talk to you, as always. Kevin Pete, Flounder.
Hey, come see it. We were at the ballpark the other day. We said, you're supposed to come up here.
I'm
right?
coming up
Get
this season.
Get on that Harley and come up there. Or bring your babe and come out up on Harley. Yeah. And we'll have a little fun for you.
All right, guys. Good to talk
All
to
right,
you.
All right, man. Semper Fi, my
see
friend. Shannon Burke anyway. Right there.
The Kimmer. All right. When we return, it's time for remarks. Also, Grandfather of the Year in California. He's 54 and he's a grandfather with a 7-year-old kid?
I mean,
it's possible.
For what he did, it's not that surprising.
Oh, yeah. Probably an older grandfather wouldn't have done what he did to his grandkid. No one gets hurt. But we'll do it next. Hang on, it's the Shannon Burke Show. So, 54-year-old grandfather, Sacramento, California. 7:45 p.m., deputies get a call. They arrived on the scene. This guy was saying, asking people for help because his 7-year-old granddaughter, quote, had been kidnapped for human trafficking. Cops get on the scene. The man is highly intoxicated. Jason Warren is his name. When they came in contact with him, he was, hammered. He told deputies he had given an unknown homeless woman $20 to take his 7-year-old granddaughter to a nearby thrift store while he went into the bar 4 hours earlier. They quickly obtained video surveillance footage of the woman leaving with the child. They launched a big search. They had put the helicopter out there. About a half hour into the search, the woman heard the PA announcement from the sheriff's helicopter and quickly returned to the parking lot with the kid. She said that, yes, she confirmed Warren gave me $20 to take the kid to the thrift store. She went on to tell the deputies that he was highly intoxicated. She didn't think that he could care for the kid. So she took the kid to her homeless camp to get some homeless camp food.
Ooh.
Deputies were able to speak to the child. She corroborated the story. She was not in distress. She was medically cleared by the fire department at the scene. They were able to determine the child's aunt had full custody of the child, but asked Warren to care for the granddaughter because she had to go to work. They conferred with the CPS, determined the child was clear to return home to her aunt. Warren was arrested for felony child endangerment, among other charges. And,
where are the parents?
You think it's Sacramento? I thought Sacramento was a nice, you didn't have this kind of riffraff running around.
Again, I mean, she was living with an aunt, and the grandpa was taking her out to the bar. So, where's her parents at?
Why is the 54-year-old grandfather going to work?
Well, yeah, 54. Bar things to do.
Yeah, I get loaded. Now you end up your kids had some homeless camp food. You don't know what she's eating or what happened to her. Terrible. Let's get these remarks.
All right.
Shall we?
From the Florida Man Radio app and powered by Morganic Meats, it's time for your remarks. Just don't be stupid.
Get your belly full of archives there as well of this program and Don's commercial free in the podcast. And text the show, call the show. Hit the microphone button and we're off to the races. Here we go.
Isn't it weird that Bubba says radio is dead? And in the same breath, he says it's fully alive and thriving.
I didn't hear Bubba say radio is dead. Maybe for him it is. I'm just kidding. I love Bubba.
Speaking of Nobel Peace Prizes, the guy who did the spandex pants, he deserves one. Be-doo, be-doo.
those yoga pants.
Speaking of Nobel Peace Prizes.
Whoa.
I was thinking maybe these freaks that like getting choked out during sex all have like real bad nasal problems, so they get two for one, a good orgasm and it clears their sinuses up.
Oh, shiny, shiny, other guy at the one hog low. I got the very, very stuffy nose. Gonna try other guy's suggestion. go do boom boom action on Su Hung Lo. Okay, call you back 3 minutes. Let you know how it go.
3 minutes.
What's up, guys? It's Logan from Lockhart. Man, that was funny about hair protecting an impact. That's why all the lesbians got such hairy knuckles. And it has been hotter than the devil's taint today. But chicks do love the beard, man. It's juicy. But anyway, man, that 250, I'm looking forward to it on Monday, man.
Yeah.
Put me in. We can split it. I'm right down the road.
Later, guys. Employees are ineligible to win. And families up. Beards that are properly care. I mean, I've read studies about what they've gone in and swabbed dudes' beards. There's 9 kinds of funk living in there. Just all, I mean, unless
it's
you're
an ecosystem in there, yeah.
You know, the guys with the big old beards, unless you get in there every day and shampoo that thing like a head of hair, whoo.
You gotta be careful of that rage retreat. I mean, it could be PMS, you know, psychotic mood swings, or in my wife's case, potential murder suspect. Run.
Hey, Shannon. I've come to the conclusion that these skaters are like mini aliens, man. I've hit like over 100 of them on my windshield, and not one splat. They just bounce right off. It's like they got some kind of shield on them.
Maybe their exoskeleton. They do have a shell.
This is Walk Life, Gene. Sorry I haven't called in a while. I've been in the damn hospital. They put 2 cameras in each end and see if they can make them touch in the middle. Anyways, about the woman's retreat. I used to do the same kind of thing at Roscoe's Chili Cook-Off on my bike.
Oh,
go
Lord.
Out the woods and beat on stuff, but, you know, long time ago. Beat it, beat it.
Do you know Roscoe's Chili Cook-Off?
No.
Oh, my God. It is, if you ever get an opportunity to go, you should go. You'll see stuff there. It's a motorcycle dude kind of event, but you'll see some stuff there that will absolutely blow. I'll tell you in the break. One I can't mention on the, that's a specific contest that they do with couples on the stage.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really can't wait for the day that Bubba the Love Sponge finally replaces his Alexa with a JD Cakes box. Cheddar Cakes, some of your jocks.
I think I missed the...
I've seen a lot of these rage exercises on X, but they're not out in the woods. They're usually like in a Subway or a McDonald's. So maybe they just can't afford the $200 to go out into the woods.
That's funny.
Ton Daytona. My son has a master's degree in statistical math and learning systems, and he works directly with ChatGPT and AI for a subcontractor for the military. But he's considered making a large language model of himself, so in case something were to happen, his wife and his child would be able to interact with him going into the future. And his wife said, absolutely not. That'd be creepy as hell.
How do you make that of yourself?
I mean, it's lines of code after lines of code, yeah. But you're...
I don't have the time for that.
Yeah, you basically have to, if asked this, answer this way, or ask this, answer this way.
Oof.
Hey, Shannon. And also, we just had our first good rainstorm since these things came out, and it must have been some Red Bull in them raindrops, because, man, they're extra, extra loud now.
It does sound very loud. Yow. When do we get ours?
Hey, y'all are talking about artificial intelligence. Black Mirror had an episode called Ash Thermer where the lady lost her husband and he was brought back in life form, but he was artificial intelligence. Check that out if you want to be freaked out.
Hmm.
Hey guys, yeah, these rage sessions sound like a great idea. Let's teach all these unhinged Karens how to violently express their anger and sustain it for a 20-minute period. But then they're going to go home and just sit quietly after that. You know, they just need that one time. Honestly, I can't think of that many people that I could, you know, have that much pent-up anger. Ah, it's scary stuff. B2B.
Maybe, Mary, you might have that. You might not have that anger and not even know it until you get to the woods and get a stick in your hand.
Cicadas, we will not get them this year.
We will not get them?
We will not get them. It's mostly the Midwest. There's parts of Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, but really not much south of Atlanta is going to get them.
You know, so just wait until these hackers figure out how to hack into this deadbot data repository. Then all they have to do is ask for voter information. It'll be an amazing event when all these lifetime Republicans start immediately voting Democrat. Good times, good times.
Shannon Burke traffic ticket violation. Shame. Shame.
Unconstitutional. What if I should wear a suit?
Yeah, you probably should. Come in there very... But I'm talking maybe you wear like a seersucker suit.
Your Honor.
Little Colonel Sanders. If I might be approach the bench and talk to Your Honor.
Your Honor, you mind if I approach?
Todd Daytona. I got popped with a red light camera up in the city of Green Cove Springs going to work. And I contacted a prominent local attorney, and he basically said, there's a photo, it's your license, you know, might as well just go ahead and pay it. It's no sense in fighting it because you're just going to end up fighting it forever. But you can bet your ass if I ever work on the city of Green Cove Springs vehicles, there's going to be a $168 surcharge on that bill. B2B2.
Truck driver, 2 years ago, I was on the road in Iowa. Was parked in Albany, Georgia. Somehow during that time, I got a toll violation from Tampa, Florida. Had all my information on the ticket, but the photo wasn't my vehicle, not even the same type, not the tag number at all. But to avoid any kind of monkey business at CDL, I went ahead and paid the $27 ticket.
Oh, yeah. You don't mess with the CDL.
Yeah. That's unfortunate. That's one of those toll violation tickets he got, too. It was only like $27.
Yeah.
That's running the running the fast lanes on the expressway.
Eh, you better hope the judge or the jury or whoever you go up against or the bailiff doesn't listen to your radio show because they might use this against you. I'm going to stretch the truth a little bit. Uh-oh, a beetle.
Trust me, I don't think the judicial system's much interested in my show.
Shannon, can you please record your court appearance over the traffic light ticket? Oh my gosh, that would be radio gold. Everybody'd love to hear it.
I bet I could do that, couldn't I? I can get away with that.
Yeah. Depends on the courtroom.
It's public. It's a traffic court.
Ask the judge. Judge, you mind if I record all this?
Your Honor, you mind if I might record this session for accuracy?
Hey, Shando, glad to hear your 6 weeks of pre-law are finally paying off on that traffic camera court case. Go get them.
Shannon, you should definitely stand up for yourself and beat your gavel over this issue with the court. I totally agree, although I don't know if you should say that overlord part. That might not work too well. I fought a ticket recently. It didn't go my way, but I did maybe get it on the backside because I was given a warning going 96 miles per hour recently on 95.
Uh-oh. That's a little fast.
It's the first day of the first grade, and she found a new best friend. It's a little furry.
I'm not going to listen to you sing the Bluebell song, man. Thank you very much. But
hey, there's a guy. You were talking about right turns and intersections and all that. So on topic, off topic. When are people in Florida going to learn that when you take a right or left turn, you can't just pick whatever freaking lane you want? You have to stay in your closest lane from the side that you came in and then use a GD blinker to move into another lane. I can't wait to get sideswiped. Beetle, beetle.
I don't think that's the law here. You turn in whatever lane is open. If the lane next to the first lane is free...
Shannon, Easy, Heather, every time I think we're going to lower the bar just keeps getting lower.
I figured before too long, we'll be down the other side of the planet. And the PhDs, I don't know where they're at, but it's piled higher and deeper for sure.
I don't even understand what that
is. The stuff that's going on in this country, there just isn't enough intelligence to add it all up. Be-do.
That's, what they call it, a gish gallop? They just flood you with information?
Yeah.
Those Denver protesters must be really stoned. They only want things that feel good. I'd be the first one demanding a long shower, though. I could get behind that.
Okay.
I don't think 54 is that old to be a grandfather. Your former conspiracy theory contributor, Sean Raspatello, I think he became a grandfather at like 39 or 40. And I got a buddy, he's got like 3 grandchildren. He's 52.
Man. I'm not, you know, I would love to have grandkids. I'm not rushing anybody.
Hey guys, way too close to the microphone guy here. Hey, I wanted to make a recommendation on a movie, which I normally never do. It's like a 6-part movie based on a book, based on a true story of an Auschwitz survivor. If you haven't heard of it, it's called Tattooist of Auschwitz. I saw it on Peacock, but you can probably find it anywhere. Every one of these little punks on these college campuses that are protesting right now need to see this movie. It's a love story, but don't let that fool you. It's intense.
What's going on, Shannon, Easy, Heather, calling out the panhandle. I'm going to go ahead and hit you with something. I was delivering in Fort Worth. I was working at a Papa John's, and they got me like 2 or 3 times. I went back to my command. I told my gunnery sergeant, and she said, don't pay it. They didn't do due process. They need to do due process in order to hit you with.
Is there a part 2? Damn it.
What's going on, Shannon Burkus, Omar the Puerto Rican immigrant? You can fight your ticket with a lawyer, or you can fight it yourself. You have the right to take your accuser to court, and you can't take a camera to court. So I've beaten those tickets. I've actually used a famous one that's called Ticket. You know what? I don't know if I'm allowed to advertise on here, but I use them, and I've gotten out of all my tickets for red light. Yeah, you can
Only one word can describe that hateful camera. Racist.
Shando, this is Mr. Evil down in Seminole. We need to spread word about these red light cameras and let everybody know that these things each contain about 3 to 5 pounds of copper. And if we spread the word well enough, problem will take care of itself. Be-do.
Thank you, Mr. Evil.
Man, people today, I can't believe that old man gave his granddaughter off to some stranger. My gramps used to just make me sit in the car and do homework while he get hammered at Cecil's Bar in Jacksonville. He drive my ass home.
That's awesome.
Hey, just looking to figure out how to win the Avril Lavigne concert tickets.
Got me.
I love facial hair on a guy, but don't get me one of those long B.B. King beards. What are you supposed to do with it? It's just too much.
You know they smell.
Let me tell you something, Shannon. When I hit them there cicadas, them there things, they must have some kind of magic shield. They bounce right off the car, man. Shoot.
I agree with that guy about the cicadas. I see him carrying little ray guns around.
I got a red light ticket thing in the mail about a month and a half or so ago. And I got to find that paperwork. Well, when I find it, that I misplaced it, but I got a lawyer. The lawyer goes in there, does everything. I don't even got to go to court, and he said he'll get it dismissed for $60.
$60, huh?
I've seen
$60 or fight for the Constitution.
$60 probably, depending on how much free time
Shannon,
I got.
Maverick here. You should arrive in court all bikered out.
leather pants, leather vest with the white beater underneath, and then just a tie.
Sure, that'd be great.
Hey, Shannon T-Bone from Atlanta. Now, if you go on YouTube, I'm not usually a big rap guy, but there's a guy out there, DJ Shadow, and he's got a song called Nobody Speak. The music video for it is freaking killer, and it's exactly how I picture you in court. But anyways, check it out, dude. Be-do freaking be-do.
Shannon, what you do is when you go in there with that red light camera, you tell the judge, that's my car. Yes, I did turn, but I was getting out of the way for an emergency vehicle that was coming up the street with its lights on. I was getting out of the way, yielding for an emergency vehicle. That's what that picture shows.
That's it, Your Honor. That's what this picture shows. A careful, mindful driver.
Yeah, true American citizen.
Kate said she got on the backside. Been masturbating ever since.
Kate got it on the backside. Gross.
I think it was Nasal Guy just talking about knowing how which lane to turn from. On Hillsborough Avenue one time at an intersection, I watched a car in the right-hand turn lane. All the lights were red. And they, you know, they all changed at the same time. When they changed, he made, in front of all the other lanes, a left-hand U-turn.
Ooh. Wow.
Drunk Nasal Guy is correct about that. When you make a turn right or left, you have to stay on the inside lane. They call it the inside lane. If you shoot out to the other lane, that's improper lane use, and they can pull you over for it.
Man, leave me alone. If I can turn, if it's safe to go in that lane, I'm going in that lane. I'm going to make a safe choice.
Cheers for Mr. Evil. Be-do, be-do.
I hate it when people do that. I'm on a, like, 1792. I'm going 45 miles an hour, and some dude turns his little damn whatever car into that lane I'm in, and he's going 20. That's not safe. I pass a mother effer like that and like lean over to the side of the motorcycle and almost touch their window with a big middle finger.
Just tap it and slap it against the window.
Kate said, what are you supposed to do with that? It's just too much. Been masturbating ever since.
What happened to Thorn Track Guy? I haven't heard from him in a while.
We didn't hear from him today. Well, did we? Earlier. No, yeah, we didn't. No, he didn't. Mm-mm. Or he's got the day off.
No. Might have. He takes usually a day off every once in a while.
He deserves it.
You can get out of that ticket for $60-$100, but with a lawyer, but you have to have a clean driving record. It has to be your first offense in 20 years or something.
Huh? No. When I was going back and forth to Atlanta, I got stopped by the same cop like three times in Columbia County, Florida Department of Public Safety. And every one of those I sent to I found a little ticket joint up in Columbia County, and I sent this old lady Marge like $100.
Marge's me again.
Yeah. The cop was after a while he started to recognize me.
I ain't no cop. Lord knows I got a record. But if I recall, to make that turn y'all are talking about, you have to enter the nearest, safest legal lane. That's just how I remember it. I got your back, Shannon.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Be-do, be-do.
I'll go to the lane of my choice. Thank you. I'm not gonna like turn if it's a 4-lane road and zip all the way out to the end. Jeez. What?
So I live in South Carolina, but whenever I drive down to Florida, I put my bike rack on my wife's car so that it covers up my license plate. I've gotten pulled and they told me I need like a different thing, but I'm like, it's not illegal to have a bike rack, but it keeps those cameras from getting a clear shot of my license plate whenever I go to Florida.
Excellent idea.
Ain't no cop. Lord knows I got.
I find it funny how Shannon just mentioned Columbia County getting pulled over. Last time I got pulled over in Columbia County, this country bumpkin cop walks up to me, was like, boy, you know where you're at? Like, I know where the hell I'm at on I-10. Nah, I don't know where I'm at. And he's like, you're in Columbia County, boy.
They don't play. I'm here to tell you, they do not play. Those are the remarks for today. Thank you for dropping them. They're powered by More Organic Meats, Morris Family Farms. We'll take our final break and come back to wrap it up for you. Stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show. The airline industry is a mess. And people are getting pissed at one airline in particular, Southwest Airlines. Not necessarily with the airline itself. I think it's a great airline. With the their fellow flyers that are abusing the pre-boarding process. What type of unscrupulous bastard would abuse the pre-boarding flight? They're very have a laid-back attitude towards people that need a little extra time while boarding. And they, you know, there it's a cattle call. They don't assign seats because the airlines can only pry so far into people's personal situations. It's difficult to prove that someone is pre-boarding under false pretenses.
It's almost if I remember someone talking about pre-boarding under false pretenses.
Yes, I'm guilty, but I didn't just stand there and claim, you know, I played it up with a cane until then. I felt guilty, and then I just started paying off the gate agent with free drinks at my nightclub. They say it's offered to customers that need extra assistance for various reasons. We work hard to maintain the integrity of the boarding process while providing accommodations for all who fly. Since many disabilities aren't visible, we're also unable to question the validity of the pre-boarding request. You know, you see them standing there.
That's one of the ones I hate, though, when they say, well, I'm autistic. I should be able to board first. Why? Why? It's not a physical issue that you have. It's a social and mental disorder that you have.
I'm claustrophobic. I need to get on this plane early so I don't get caught in a window seat.
Yeah.
Plus, I have a very small bladder, ma'am. That's it. That's it for us. Thank you for listening. Thank you, EZ.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. Left some horribly homophobic and terrible remarks we couldn't even air today. Apparently, we're responsible for supporting queerism. Back to our 2 Eastern, 1 Central after the great Don Miller Show. Don follows Bubba the Love Sponge. Remember, he's always got a Saturday night special taped to his ankle. We'll see you tomorrow on the Florida Man Radio Network. I'm Shannon Burke. Good night.